Hey, let's start the show.
It's August 22nd, 2013. Welcome to This Is Only a Test, the official podcast of Tested.com. Will Smith, seated directly to my left, holding both a tablet and a phone. Norman Chan, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right.
Holding a tablet and a phone.
Holding a tablet.
Okay. To your left, Gary Widow wearing a delightful Piggly Wiggly t-shirt.
You know, I get more more comments about this t-shirt than any other that I've ever worn. It's weird.
Have I told my Piggly Wiggly story?
No, but like I said, apparently everybody has one. I go to a department store or a restaurant, whatever, and there's always someone who goes, oh man, Piggly Wiggly. Like everybody knows
it. I have no idea
it.
What Piggly Wiggly is.
It's like a convenience store. It's like a market.
It was a grocery. It was a full-fledged grocery store, like Kroger, Safeway, whatever, in the South when I was
Kroger?
A kid. Well, Kroger is a Lucky's here, I think. Same brand. Maybe it's Albertsons, yeah. But it's like Safeway, a full on grocery store where you can buy produce and fresh meat and deli stuff and vegetables and the whole thing.
I always thought it was more like, what's that thing on the East Coast? You see them like in
7-Eleven?
No, like it was like that, but on the East Coast called like a Walla or something like that.
There's a lot of regional convenience. No,
they're all over. So this is more like a Safeway or a Lucky Market.
It was at the time a budget grocery store.
Well, apparently there's a lot of people who live in California who used to live in places where they had Piggly Wigglies and have fond memories of them. Because I swear this t-shirt, I can't go anywhere without one person.
It's a great
pointing it out
logo.
It is.
It's one of the great logos from the 50s.
I wish
my 40s,
pig,
early 50s.
Yeah. Wearing a hat off to its side.
Yeah. It's like a little picture of Americana.
Radiating.
Yeah.
Well, so when the Piggly Wiggly went under in my hometown, which was a common occurrence, like grocery stores going under in the early 80s, the Boys Club and Girls Club used the Piggly Wiggly as a place to hold their auctions, their fundraisers, because apparently whoever owned it was willing to give them space. So one day my father and I went in there for the auction, and there was in the back past the auction stuff a taped out spot on the floor where someone had met their mortal demise, along with taped out like a knife spot and a gun spot in different places.
The silhouette.
Along with
the full stencil,
brown splatters.
Wow,
it was grim.
In a Piggly Wiggly,
in a former Piggly Wiggly.
Had someone shit themselves, or was that dried blood?
Dried blood.
Okay, I mean, I don't know.
But I mean, maybe
it
both.
Could have been both.
Could have been
it happens
both.
And you die.
How do you know? Until the forensic boys come in, how do you know for sure?
You poop your pants.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my Piggly Wiggly story.
All right, good.
So it was
a feel good story to start.
I don't remember ever shopping.
Are they in the UK?
What's that?
Are they in the UK?
No. This is a very specific. Specific to a very specific part of America.
It could be an English name.
What is your connection with it?
I got this. This is a terrible version. I didn't even know what Leah knew what it was because she's originally from the South.
She's from our part of the country.
But I got this at one of those hipster vintage T-shirt shops on Haight Street.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like
I just
like
liked it.
Hot Topic.
Yeah. No.
A vintage store.
I didn't even necessarily know if Piggly Wiggly was a real thing, but I sure found out about it after I started wearing this t-shirt.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Right up there with Winn-Dixie and the great Southern supermarket chains that no longer exist.
Yeah. Because most of my t-shirts are designed to act almost like a shibboleth of like, how are you into the same geeky shit that I'm
right.
into?
Shit I like, shit you like.
I just got a Schrader Brow t-shirt, which is only going to be picked up on by people who really watch Breaking Bad and really pay attention.
Yeah.
So for the most part, when people go, oh, cool t-shirt, it's got the day wake,
it's like in Lord of the Rings.
I'm into the same very specific geeky thing that you're into.
It's like the sword in Lord of the Rings that glows when trolls are near, except your t-shirt. You get the
Orcrist? Or?
No, it's, I forget. No, it's,
Glamdring?
Sting?
Sting.
Yeah. It's like Sting.
Yeah.
It's a t-shirt form for nerds.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you got to be careful, though, because sometimes people say, hey, man, I really love your t-shirt. But what they really mean is I am a design aficionado, and I really like the design of your t-shirt, not that I understand the same in-joke.
It could be that.
You can get in trouble that
but
way.
I can usually tell where it's coming from.
Yeah. Well, if you see a guy who looks like he's really into bacon and he likes your Piggly Wiggly shirt, then, you know, there you go.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, Gary? It's been a few weeks since you've been on. I guess?
No, I was on 2 weeks ago.
Two or three,
I missed last... Who was on last week?
Lloyd was on last week.
Lloyd was here last week.
Lloyd was on last week. You were there the week before.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It seems like a long time ago.
life, the time.
It's time dilation effect. Yeah, exactly. Let's just jump right into the news then. Screw you. We're not going to find out what you.
Yeah, I don't have much. I'm sure it'll come up in the normal course of conversation.
Very good. Okay, so Gamescom is going on right now.
Yep.
In Cologne, Germany.
Huge.
It's bigger than E3, more important than E3, seems like.
Is this the one that used to be in Leipzig?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Never been.
So still Gamescom, they just moved the city.
Yeah, Leipzig under was too small. Much as San Diego is too small for Comic-Con now.
And Gamescom is pretty much the biggest event of its kind in Europe.
Definitely in Europe. Like, I don't know how Gamescom, E3, and Tokyo Game Show kind of stack up against each other.
But I don't know too much about TGS, but I think as far as E3 goes, it's probably about on par, I would guess.
Well, and the thing that happens, especially on console launch years, is that each of the three are much more important than they normally are because there's more information doled out each time.
They play a very specific role.
The big difference, of course, in terms of size is that Gamescom is actually on certain days is open to the public.
Right.
Which E3 is not. Lots of members of the public and people that are only kind of tangentially involved in the industry get into E3 anyway.
Right. Yeah.
But Gamescom is like anyone can go. It's like PAX, but on an E3 scale.
Yeah, it is a huge show. There's
a lot of interesting stuff going on there right now.
Well, they're rolling out. Well, there's a couple things. First off, launch date for the PS4 was announced. It's November 15th in the U.S. and I think 19th in other territories.
Yeah, I have
How
a story about
stack
that.
Up for Thanksgiving. Is that 2 weeks?
Just in time for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't remember when Thanksgiving is.
Just in time for Black Friday. Sony know what they're doing.
Great. What people need is more Black Friday. They announced game like launch lineups for games for both platforms. I think the complete lineup is out now.
Yeah,
we're not going to talk about that. We'll save that for games podcasts.
I will say because we are going to talk about some games today, right? We should probably give our listeners who hate it when we talk about games fair warning.
There'll be some games chat. Yeah, you can. Please direct your angry comments.
I will say that just like every, I mean, I'm really excited about both Xbox One and PS4. I think they're both going to be really interesting. I'm probably more excited about this generation than I have been any other in a long time. But one thing that is almost always true of game console launches, and certainly seems to be true again this year, is that the launch lineups are never that great. There's maybe two, maybe three games that are actually you're going to want to get, and the rest.
Back in the day when the launch lineup was important, that because it was, I guess internet was still around, but the box art when you bought the 360, when you bought a console, had like. These are the games. It was on the box,
right?
And when you look at the box, like, oh, I can play
Cameo,
Cameo and Perfect Dark Zero,
the Xbox
FIFA.
But I mean,
Geometry Wars.
I think way too much time gets put on. People put too much credence on like how good is the launch lineup because it doesn't at the end of the day matter. Look at the Xbox 360 launch lineup; it was pretty grim, and yet now you can look at the 360, and over time it built an amazing library.
Well, so in the old days, launch lineups were good. Remember the SNES launched with Super Mario or came with Super Mario.
Xbox
World.
One, I think, was the last console. I mean, not Xbox One, the original Xbox.
Yeah,
was the last console.
The Xbox One.
My God. The original Xbox was the last console that had a good launch lineup, I think. Xbox 360 did not. PS3 certainly did not. PS2, I don't remember what they had on
PS2 was like Tekken and a bunch of stuff that
PS2 did not have a great launch PS2. Lineup.
GameCube was super grim. It was like Pilot Wings and something else. N64 was a great launch lineup. Two games. Super Mario 64.
Super Mario 64 was all you needed.
And Wave Race, I think.
All it needed. All it needed.
Right?
The difference with Nintendo, of course, is the launch lineup is not that different from what you end up with at the end of the cycle.
There's more games. There's more first-party games than that.
It's true, but at the end of the day, I think Wii U and Wii and GameCube are all shaping up to be the same thing, which is there's going to be maybe the number of games that will really worth buying for that system by the time it's done, you can count on the fingers of both hands.
I think GameCube
is fair. And that's okay. That can be worth it because those games are so good. There's just not a lot of bench strength.
I don't think you can say that with the Wii. I mean, if you look at the Wii, so many games came out.
Yeah, and the highest percentage of stuff that was worthless of any console I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I'm not saying it was good. I'm just saying
Guy Fieri's shrimp tossing challenge and bullshit like that was just garbage.
A lot of publishers
real bargain bin rubbish.
Made a lot of money on.
Oh well, as long as publishers are making money, yeah. I should be happy as a gamer, right?
Well, of course.
As they got to make
money, or they're going to stop making games, Gary.
As I'm sitting at home playing fucking Deal or No Deal. 2 with motion controls, wanting to fucking kill myself. I should console myself by saying,
"Why
you know
did
what?
You buy Deal or
NBC,
No Deal 2?
NBC probably made a lot of money off of this.
Why did you buy Deal or No Deal 2?
I'm just using it as an example of the kind of crap that is on offer for the Wii.
I gotta think that there's like you look at there was a lot of weird Japanese stuff that came out for the Wii that was good. Atlas released a whole shitload of games. There was stuff like, what was the No More Heroes?
No More Heroes, Mad World. There were some good games for the Wii.
Yeah, there was some weird Sega stuff that was good.
But again...
But then there were a lot of Sonic
one
versus.
Hand.
If you look
or
at
two hands.
If you look, even if you include some of the better third party stuff, if you say like create, like you could create a list of the best 100 games for the Xbox 360. You could not even cut. You could not do that for the Wii. You would max out on maybe 15
or 20.
How many
games? Good games you need for a system?
Well, that's the first one. I'm saying is basically okay. You overall have less choice. But there's still enough good games to
well,
go
so by
on.
That rationale, the Wii U should be the greatest system ever made. Less choice, but the games that come out are overall a lot better.
Well, not really.
Well, Pikmin's really good. There's only three games for that system.
It's too early to say with Wii U.
Yeah.
But, the trend line looks like it's going to be the same.
So on the Xbox launch, the Panzer game or the Panzer theoretical spiritual successor or whatever looks interesting.
Which one about Xbox One?
It's an Xbox One game.
What is this game?
It seems like it's a Panzer Dragoon kind of spiritual successor.
I'll get Forza, and I typically know those games, but that looks like it will be good.
Titanfall,
the Roman thing.
Titanfall's
looks,
the next
Titanfall
year.
Looks
oh, the
like,
Roman thing looks so rubbish.
I don't know what there is though. I mean, again, this
Rise
so,
looks so bad.
But there, so what? Okay, so. We know Titanfall. What the lineup is. What look like if you're going to buy two or three games to the Xbox One on day one? What are you going to get?
Titanfall.
I'll probably get FIFA 14 because that's
Titanfall's
my jam.
Next year, dude. It's not this year.
Titanfall's not at launch.
Yeah.
What are the launch games then?
Would you like me to read?
Pull out the list.
I'm doing that right
and
now.
And I'll review them for you right now, quickly,
all right,
without,
oh, this
without
is great.
Seeing them.
Okay.
Save you a lot of trouble.
Oh, that's a long list. Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs is a day one title for me.
Multi-format.
That's fine. You're gonna get it on one or the other PC probably.
Yeah.
Zoo Tycoon. Nope. Zumba Fitness World Party.
Nope.
Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
Mm. Nope.
Battlefield 4.
Nope.
COD Ghosts.
I mean, I'm not saying these games are bad. I'm just saying that they don't interest me.
Crimson Dragon.
What's that? Is that Panzer Dragoon?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'm looking at something else that has dragon
it's really,
in the
it's really hard to understand why people don't like it when we talk about games.
Yeah, no
what
kidding.
Will is reading a list. What could they possibly take issue
words.
With?
And you're,
and you're saying yes or no.
Just arbitrarily rejecting
fuck
them.
Fuck you guys. Dead Rising 3.
But you know what? I've had it with zombies.
The first one was great. The second one, let's see what they do. FIFA 14. You're English. You like the footage.
I'll get FIFA 14. I'm actually kind of jealous of the European people who are going to get that packed in with the system.
Oh, really? It comes with a system?
Wow.
They get a free game in Europe?
Yeah.
Fuck those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Fighter Within.
Don't know what that is.
Forza 5.
I'll probably get that again though, just because I'm like I got to get something.
just because you got to get something. You got to boost that attach rate up.
Just Dance 24. Yeah, you got to help the publishers out, man. Just Dance 2014.
Nope.
Killer Instinct. This looks interesting. This you
is
know
Killer
how they're
Instinct
doing this.
Like a full price title?
No, they're selling the fighters individually. I think you can pay for all of them, but you can also just pay like $5 for the two dudes that you like.
Okay.
So that, I mean, it's a weird. It's cheap enough that I'll probably try it out.
Right.
Lego Marvel Super Heroes.
I love the Lego game, so I probably would give that a close look.
Lego Batman 2 was really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to
Leo and I, we play all those games. We love them.
Those Lego games, do you really play all of them or do you just play the good ones? Because there's a lot of them.
Well,
and some of them are kind of
Leo plays all of them. I play the good ones.
Okay.
She played Lego Harry Potter.
Ooh.
I didn't. She
Lego
played,
Indiana Jones?
Yeah, but not two because then it goes into Crystal Skull territory and I can't have that in the house.
Not in the house.
The Clone Wars based Star Wars games.
Wow.
Skip those.
Yeah, well,
played the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Pirates.
Lego Batman's fantastic.
Yeah.
We have Lego Batman's 2. We have Lego Batman 2 and Pirates that are on deck. We haven't got to that.
Lego Batman 2 is I think my favorite Lego game.
Yeah, it looks really
time.
Good.
Are it's they
really
gonna good. Do a Lego the movie the game?
Probably.
I'm sure.
And Lego City Undercover, actually talking about Wii U.
Yeah.
Is something that I should probably pick up at some point because that looks like a lot of fun.
It kind of fizzled, I think, but it could have just been because it launched on that platform and nobody cared. NBA 2K14, NBA
nope.
Live 14,
nope.
Need for Speed Rivals.
And what is that? Now, I do like Need for Speed.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you a secret.
I have one question for you on that, and it's the only question that needs to be
Criterion?
Asked.
Criterion?
Is it Criterion?
No.
Okay, then I don't care.
Peggle 2. I would have said yes until I played Plants vs. Zombies 2. Then maybe not so much.
I thought I'd been getting good reviews.
It's... Plants vs. Zombies 2 is all microtransactioned up.
Yeah, but I heard that...
Well,
was,
you don't need to, right?
But I've been reading stuff that says that's not a problem.
It is...
But they did it in a good way.
I would not say... I would say that they did it in a way that is not terribly offensive. I would not call it good.
Okay.
So why does that turn off you off Peggle?
Because it's... all PopCap games are microtransactioned up from here on out.
Peggle is amazing.
Peggle I do was like Peggle. Amazing.
Peggle still is amazing.
Well, you know,
we'll see.
We don't know what this is going to be.
There's too much crazy, Dave in PvZ 2.
I could use
Power Star Golf.
I'll probably wait for whatever the next Tiger is, but okay.
Yeah, Rise, Son of Rome, and Skylanders Swap Force. So the games here to me are...
Wow, that's the entire list?
That's like 20 games. That's pretty good.
It's a good lineup.
Oh, that's the Here's launch the thing. Lineup?
Oh, did I say Loco Cycle? I might have skipped that. And Madden.
No, but I'm really glad that you brought that up. What the fuck is that?
Loco Cycle is from the Twisted Pixel guys. You know, Explosion Man.
Yeah, I like those guys.
They're great. They make, like, Gunstringer. They have earned a day one buy.
I take back my formerly bitchy comment.
I will not buy Xbox One.
You're not going to get one at launch?
Well, we know you've already said you're going to rely on your housemates to buy
Is that everything, or is there more, like, indie stuff? Would there be more, like, digitally in the store that I could go get, or is that it?
Official Microsoft representative Will Smith replies, huh? I don't know.
Mm.
I'm looking at a list that says this is the full list of Xbox One
Sony,
launch titles.
Now, Sony, they announced their release date, but they didn't announce their launch
list, I think
they
gave us some...
I mean, I don't know if they did the whole lineup.
I don't know if it's the whole one. They announced a bunch of stuff.
Well, look.
I'm opening that. I have that in a different tab.
Okay.
Here. I tried to hit I'm Feeling Lucky, but it didn't let me. Here we go.
Yeah.
Confirmed day one. Oh, God. It's a bunch of the same stuff. Assassin's Creed, Battlefield, Blacklight Retribution, Call of Duty Ghosts, DC Universe Online.
Oh, wait. You didn't say Call of Duty Ghosts for Xbox One?
I did. Okay. I said COD Go.
All right. That's what everyone's going to buy.
Well, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
DCU Online.
Yeah, I will play Ghosts
and
on
also
PC.
COD Ghosts is going to be on 360.
It's going to be on everything. Yeah. You'll be able to get COD Ghosts on your cell phone.
But I play all the COD games and all the Blops games and all the Moore games on PC. Right. That's the way to do it.
We understand. If the game comes out on PC and one of the consoles, you're going to buy it on PC.
Of course.
Yeah. Drive Club, FIFA 14, Just Dance, Killzone Shadowfall.
Do you think Killzone is supposed to be their premier title?
Have you played a Killzone game before?
No, I don't give a shit about them.
That's the right. That's probably okay. I mean,
although, okay. So what happened was I ordered a PlayStation 4 the day that the orders opened up, and then my credit card, for whatever reason, the number got all fucked up, and I got an email saying, "Oh, well, we've rejected this thing, and now you're not in the launch shipment anymore, but you can reorder." I'm like, I was not happy about it. But I reordered. But I could only do it if I got one of those shitty bundles. I got bundle fucked.
Wow. It's like going to a Costco.
So there are various different bundles. And so I thought, well, I should get the one. If it's usually, we're meant to be seeing what's going to happen with this generation. But usually if there's a game that's only on consoles and it's on both, I'll get the Xbox version because that's where my friends are.
Is the bundle like three games or two games?
I think that could reset this generation. Yeah. I don't know. Because PS4, I think, has got a little bit more momentum and goodwill behind
it. And they announced,
both are looking strong.
Well, and
Xbox One, I think, is really...
Twitch for PS4?
I think after some of their initial missteps, I think Xbox One is starting to kind of catch back up again. There was a good story in Eurogamer about it just this morning.
PS4 is Ustream, Xbox is Twitch, I believe.
Nope.
Is it the other way around?
Twitch? No. Hmm? PS4 is both Ustream and Twitch.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I don't care about those features. So I had to reorder and I had to get the Killzone one. Because they're like, well, I may as well get something that's at least only on PlayStation. Yeah, but and you also get a PS Plus subscription.
The PS Plus subscription is actually huge. Somebody told me the PS Plus is good, but that's not a bad bundle.
Yeah. It's like the old days when you had to walk into a Costco and you had the only way to get one of those, like a PS2 or PS1, was to get it with three games. Yeah. One of those was okay, and two of those are crap. Plus, the whole thing came into like in one of those clamshell packages, so you like, was a bitch to open.
Yeah.
So you cut your fingers and you got two shitty games.
Mm. Yeah. I mean,
you save $10.
Anyway, I got my email from Amazon saying that I was going to get my Killzone bundle fuck on launch day.
Yeah.
But then I got another email saying, oh, the other one that you ordered that we kind of reprocessed, you may get that anywhere between November 19th and December 31st. So I don't know if I'm going to hold on to that one or not.
Unacceptable.
Why do you need two?
Well, because you never, until I actually have one in my hand, who knows what's going to happen.
Okay.
And on the PS3, I ended up with two PS3s and two Wii U's on launch day because I kind of overcompensated. It was easy to offload the spare one.
Yeah. Who did you unload that Wii U on?
Darren Gladstone.
You should send him a note and apologize.
The white one?
Yeah.
I told him. He wanted it.
Okay. Madden NFL, Lego Marvel Superheroes, Knack, Madden, Minecraft, that's a big deal. It's kind of old news for people who have PCs or Xboxes.
But it's a big deal for PlayStation.
It's a big deal for PlayStation. NBA 2K14, NBA Live 14, Need for Speed Rivals, The Playroom, That's not the book thing. That's the
don't know what playroom.
It's a pack-in. It's free. Rezogun, Skylander, Swap Force, Tiny Brains, Warframe, War Thunder, and Watch Dogs.
So it looks, I mean, again, very typical launch lineup.
Well, there's a lot of indie stuff that comes out in the launch window, it seems like.
I think the real story is how much both companies this year are really, really getting behind indie games. That's been the big push. We all know that the Modern Warfare games are going to be there. That's
Hold
happens
on.
Every year.
But, I mean, okay, so the Microsoft was behind indie games at the launch of the 360 generation.
Yes.
And then fucked those people over really hard over the latter half. And now they're trying to recover.
Right.
Sony is just now appreciating the value of those titles.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I want to play indie games, I'm buying a PlayStation.
Is a
or
if
Witness? I'm buying a PC, but
right. The Witness is a PS4 game,
but it's not at launch.
It's launch window.
Window.
I don't think you could lock Stephen Blow down to a launch date.
Jonathan Blow.
Jesus, all over the place today.
Tested your gaming destination.
Yeah. So that's it.
I think the big winner is like Ubi, because I think Watch Dogs is gonna be a big next gen only game.
It's often the third party cross platform titles that get the most excited.
Yeah. Ubi always leans into new launches and new platforms. They bring their old franchises over and then they sell
a bunch
of copies.
Looks interesting.
Or they make a thing like Red Dawn that was one of the worst games ever released on the platform.
And it also sounds like you may, from what I heard, the Assassin's Creed stuff was all designed for like next gen engine stuff.
And it's fashionable to knock the COD games at this point, but I really liked Blops 2. I liked it a lot. So I'll check out Ghosts.
Here's the thing. At this point, at least you know what to expect with a COD game. One of the characters you play is going to die. Somebody's going to jump off of a collapsing building into a helicopter. Some shit's going to explode behind you as you run away. There's going to be some cutscenes.
Yeah, like you don't always know what to expect. I think with Blops 2, they added some new stuff that was interesting. They added the
who's the
element
marquee,
of choice, which was fun.
Who's the marquee voice actor for...
They added the side missions that were terrible, the ones where you had to defend
the
bases
RTS
and all
ones?
That stuff.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Really bad. Like, it's, I don't know. I mean, it's fine. If you like COD Blops, if you like COD, that's fine. I don't judge you.
I like the campaign. I don't bother with the multiplayer, although apparently they're making some...
See, you're backwards, because most people play just multiplayer and don't touch the campaign.
Right. I'm the opposite. Yeah. I like the campaign because the multiplayer is just too much. It's not fun to go there. Although, again, apparently they have made some big moves with Ghosts, with the introduction of squads to try and create an environment where you can play with friends and not, you know, be called every name under the sun by some 14-year-old idiot.
Play Battlefield.
Isn't that the same problem?
No, Battlefield is squad.
Battlefield on PC is a lot more polite.
All right.
Microsoft showed off the Xbox dashboard at Gamescom. They've given hints before, but this time they actually like busted out the whole thing and have kind of shown people. I mean, it might change between now and launch. Who knows?
Well, there's going to be a day one patch on both systems. Yeah. Inevitably, there will be. Yeah.
And even though you can buy the Xbox without the Kinect,
no,
you have to buy the Kinect, but
you don't have to plug it in.
We talked about this last week.
You don't have to plug it in,
yeah.
But you don't. They won't sell them separately.
Right.
Will not
Everybody,
sell separately.
Did they confirm that?
They will probably. Yeah. They've said that they will never do it because again, as soon as you make that concession, you can't guarantee developers can't. Program to
I think as soon as you say it doesn't have to be plugged in, developers are going to back away from it. I mean, I think
maybe.
Usually, when the Wii launched with the weird motion controller, even when the Kinect launched, there were titles that were released that made you think, "Oh, okay, I can see why you would use this." You played Wii Sports, and you knew, okay, you can go bowling. This is cool. There's no app that demonstrates why I would want to play games with the Kinect.
Well, that
and the entire first generation has shown I don't want to play games with the
you
Kinect.
You know, as usual, I'll probably fall to harmonics, and it may actually be just the general experience.
Dance Central's good.
It may just be the actual experience. Look, Tom Bramwell, the Eurogamer guy, wrote a story today about this. It was talking about the new Kinect. And I think his feelings are very similar to mine. I bought a Kinect at launch. I bought into the promise of it. And now that Kinect, I eventually took it down and it sits in my junk drawer. I hate it. It did not deliver on the promise. This one, they say, and I've heard it from enough people to believe it, that this actually does what the first one was supposed to do, which is work properly.
I like your optimism, Gary.
I like to be an optimist.
You are the last optimist.
So we'll see.
So that's it. I don't think Microsoft announced a date yet, though, did they?
No, but it's going to be in that same window.
Okay.
Of course it is.
Let's see.
Think it'll be earlier or later?
I'd be surprised if they let Sony have Black Friday all to themselves.
Oh, it has to be before Black Friday. There's no doubt it's before Black Friday.
But it can't be like the same day or the same week.
So the 15th is two Fridays before Black Friday. It's not the Friday before. It's the one before that.
So you think it'll be 1 week after?
It could be either 1 week after, the week of, or the week before.
Well, I think the week of would be crazy.
The week of would be mad.
Here's the thing.
You can't put those two events on top of one. You can't stack. Those events are not stackable.
It's one less night that the poor bastards have to be at Target to open up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That would just turn into one massive Last of Us LARPing session.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. Get your tents out now, kids.
I every Black Friday, as you know, I like to stay in bed, and I wake up at around like 5 or 6 a.m. and I go, those poor bastards, and I go back to sleep.
Sick.
It would be doubly.
Maybe if they could launch it like 3 days before Black Friday. So you get a ship, you know, the day before.
Well, I mean, that's why I have mine pre-ordered. They will be shipped to me, and I won't have to.
I want to spend
standing in lines.
Really? September 10th is just around the corner.
The last console I stood in line for at launch was the
iPad Mini, Retina,
game console.
No, I'm saying I agree. I like the Wii U experience. I just walked into Target at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Was like, hey, you guys got any Wii U's? And they're like, yeah, which one do you want?
I had to go to a couple of stores, but it wasn't. I did get one on day one.
All that hard work finally paid off for us both.
It wasn't difficult.
PS Vita's cheaper now.
I may have spent more time looking for one in a store than I have playing it since.
Norm, Vita's $200 now. I think this makes it a much more compelling option, especially given the lineup of indie games that they have.
What are the five best games on Vita?
Guacamelee is pretty good.
Like if someone bought a Vita,
that was one of Ryan Davis's greatest moments.
Which one?
When Ryan Davis guested on one of the other podcasts in their network, and there was a conversation about the Vita, and these two other guys, I can't remember who they were talking about how the Vita was great and it had great games. And Ryan challenged them and said, well, name like three really good games on the Vita, and they couldn't do it.
Well, Thomas is Alone is on. Vita.
But this was back then. The situation's changed.
Yeah, no, it's when they were just releasing games on
this
cartridges.
This is before Persona and all the great games that came out.
Right. So if someone out on Vita now? Went to buy the Vita now, and wanted a unique experience, not games that you can get anywhere else, then
they're all going to be games you can get anywhere else.
No, that's not necessarily true. Persona 4 Golden.
Persona 4 Golden isn't that just Persona 4 re-released on a different platform? Can you get on that PS2? It's a PS2.
So is portability the only reason to get those games?
So here's the thing. They're releasing a bunch of indie games that are cross-play on PS3. So you can the nice thing is you can take your Thomas Was Alone game from the PS3 and play it on the Vita.
So portability.
Yeah, I mean, so portability.
I think part of the reason, you know, I've been very cynical about the Vita, and I'm willing to concede that they may now be starting to turn the corner with the price drop and better games and more goodwill. You know, I think some of the doom and gloom conversation is starting to fall away, and that may fall away even further once PS4 comes out and, you know, there's interoperability between the two systems. But what's interesting is, I said this all along, that I think that the problem with the Vita is I don't want to play big screen, fully rich experiences like Uncharted on this tiny little screen any more than I don't want to watch The Dark Knight Returns or the Dark Knight on a little screen. Those are meant to be bigger screen experiences. So it's interesting now that where a lot of the goodwill is coming from on the Vita is all these like more indie type experiences that are better suited to a smaller screen and shorter playing sessions.
And not necessarily on iOS or Android.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the benefit is that you have a touch screen, but you also have real controls, which we'll have on iOS and Android. You can get controllers for that. I haven't seen anything that was particularly good. I think when you look at, if they can keep the push on the weird little indie games that are $5 or $10 each, then that gives it a place that it didn't have before.
Yeah, the last physical
controls are a real benefit.
The last piece of the puzzle that remains is they have to bring the memory prices down to parity with just generic memory, because it's ridiculous what they charge for those memory cards.
Well, you can get.
They promise they would.
They have to work harder on that.
You can get Memory Stick Pro to micro SD card adapters now.
Yeah, but then you've got a thing sticking out the side of
you. No. It goes into the slot like a normal.
So it takes memory. You put it.
I have not tried them. I don't know if they work.
Right.
But you can put two micro SD cards in one thing, and you get.
They can bring it down to $199 and pack in The Walking Dead and make that's the first time I've actually considered getting a Vita, and I've never even come close to it.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is offset. You know, again.
Well, haven't you played The Walking Dead? It's really good.
I should try. I should check that out.
You should give that a look.
he's talking about the official one, right?
What do you mean?
Yeah, the official game of the TV show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So they've made great inroads, but considering that a lot of the more fun games on Vita are these ones that you're going to get from the download market, memory becomes the issue. And I don't want to the whatever money I'm saving with this new cheaper Vita is going to be very quickly offset by having to buy the big memory card.
Well, a 32 gig memory card.
I have a 32 gig memory card in mine, and like, it is totally fine.
Yeah.
It has some download full titles and the whole thing. It's
don't
totally
buy a
cool.
bunch of 8 or 16s. 132 and yeah. 164, and you're good. And
what does it come with?
I think they originally sold it with like a 4 or something. Yeah. I don't remember.
So again, by the time you buy the 32 gig card, which is like, what, $80? Again, you're back up closer to $300.
I'm going to fact check that right now.
Get the adapter if it works.
I mean, here's the thing. If you want to get something that has a shitload of games that are all going to be awesome and is a handheld gaming platform,
get a 3DS.
Get a 3DS. If you already have a 3DS and you've played all of the games that you can play on that and you want to get more games that are also handheld and use physical controls, then you're in the market for Vita. This thing's never going to be a 65 million unit crazy huge success for Sony. They're just trying to make it serviceable enough that people will keep releasing games on it.
Yeah, like the PSP was. I think it's going to be that again. I don't think anyone would call the PSP like a bomb or anything, but it didn't set the world on fire.
It did not.
I don't think this will either, but I'm glad.
It is $80. You're right.
That's crazy. I'm glad to see it's doing okay.
Get an Nexus 7 instead of a Vita.
I don't.
Really?
The game situation on Android still not.
You'll probably use it more.
It's better. That's probably true. Field Trip for Google Glass. This is the first post-launch Glass app that I've tried. And what Field Trip does is as you're walking around places, it tells you interesting things that are around you that you might want to do.
Well, like where there's a Taco Bell or something?
Yeah, because Google knows you, right? I figure Google probably knows me at this point better than my wife does. And if they know that you're into Taco Bell or fast food and you're near a fast food joint, it'll be like, hey, there's a Five Guys over here. You might want to check that out. Or if you go to art museums a lot, it'll be like, hey, there's a sweet art museum over here and they're having this exhibition.
Or alternatively, whatever some company has paid to have
also
put in your face.
Whatever some company's paid to put. It is – I haven't used it a whole lot yet. They just released it yesterday, maybe the day before. And I have tried it out, but only in my neighborhood where there is a limited.
Are you not wearing Google Glass now?
I got new contacts, so okay. I ran out of contacts.
Because you have not been wearing Google Glass since July 31st.
I wore it a couple times out when we were in, but I wear disposable contacts, and they wouldn't give me a new prescription without going to the eye doctor and getting dilated and all that business, which happened yesterday.
More Google Glass.
I feel like after Comic-Con. It's now a tool, and like the experience of wearing Google Glass, I know what that is. You walk around, people want to talk to you about it, everybody wants to try it on.
You're done.
And you can take pictures.
That's it.
No, I mean, it is a thing that we will use for – we used it for the smart car.
Yeah.
Like it's great for a head-mounted third cam or second cam, but like as a day-to-day tool, unless we're doing something interesting or traveling or out of the office or something like that, there's no reason to wear it if I'm just coming to the office, sitting at a desk and leaving.
Did you see that Vogue, that big –
the Molly Crab the apple thing? The fashion thing.
Fashion with Google Glass, trying to make it look fashionable and hip.
It wasn't good.
Yeah. Did not good.
No.
It's. I think Google Glass right now is kind of where Bluetooth headsets used to be. It's impossible to wear them and look good.
Well, so here's the thing: is when you're traveling, if you are the more interesting you are, the more useful it is. If you're out all the time and are always going to meetings and appointments and stuff that are in different places and you don't know where you're going, like the turn-by-turn nav stuff and the Google Now stuff and all that is really useful. If you do things that are particularly interesting all the time and take pictures and want to be able to take pictures and stuff like that, it is really nice just to reach up to your forehead and hit the button. Mm-hmm. If you go from your house to your office and maybe stop off at the cleaners in the grocery store on the way home, it is uncomfortable to wear all day and is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me a lot of those kind of Apple commercials where or when they do those, when they do the demos up on stage and they, the dummy photos that they've taken, they've obviously brought in a lot of actors from different
who
kind
went
of,
on a vacation to Bali this year.
Yeah, that's conveniently like multi-ethnic groups of young attractive people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, and they're on canoeing trips and like they're going up the fucking Aztec.
Oh, this is when my
pillars.
Family went on vacation.
And I'm like,
me.
I don't do any of this shit. Like I feel like an iPhone's kind of wasted on me because I never do anything interesting enough to really use it.
Like wearing
the FaceTimes with the baby.
Do you think? But I mean, there are really people that have those lifestyles, right? That's not those people that just exist in like stock photos.
Oh, they're real people.
Yeah. That bugs me. I kind of wish that no one's life was that interesting. The fact that those people are real.
Yeah.
They should make ads with real people where like you're sitting there on the couch using iMessage to talk to your significant other who's on the can. You're like, hey, did you get more ice cream today?
Yeah.
And that's the whole
ad. It's the utopia they're projecting. That lifestyle.
We're all 5 years younger, and we're much more interesting.
Yeah. Multi-ethnic groups of attractive people.
Yeah.
GTA. Maybe one deaf person.
Oh, wow. We got more game stuff. GTA 4 multiplayer?
You watched the trailer. GTA 5.
Five. Well, it's four on the
Thank
list.
God
I'm just reading
here.
The list. I'm just reading the list.
Who made the list?
Norm made this one.
Oh, okay.
GTA
did it actually say four?
It has four written right. I'll make it the screenshot for this episode.
Okay.
Control shift four before it's too late. There's multiplayer. It's the crazy multiplayer trailer, right?
I'm really excited about that trailer.
But doesn't GTA multiplayer always look really great? And then like there's always something horribly broken about it. It's not very fun.
They've not exactly been doing GTA multiplayer for very long. Sorry, it's a relatively new addition.
Rockstar.
Red Dead multiplayer was okay. I played that.
But
this looks good, though.
What's the promise of this multiplayer?
It's like halfway toward the GTA MMO that we've always dreamed of. I think that's kind of what has potential to be. There's some persistency. You can wander around and free roam, toy box, sandbox, game, your own shit.
Go on heist with friends.
Like, some people could be playing, like, Ollie Moss tweeted a thing that I thought was funny. Like, you know, he's going to just ride around on his dirt bike and, like, fuck up people's basketball games and, like, just get in the way.
It's not that
like,
many
if you can actually do
not,
that, that would be
MMO,
awesome.
It's not going to be, like, 1,000 people on one server.
No, it's going to be, I think it's, like, capped at 16 or something.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how well it's going to work, but what they're doing within the constraints of this generation does look very ambitious, and I'm excited about it.
So they always did. Like with Red Dead, they had the big lobbies, and there was always like the problem with their multiplayer before wasn't mechanical in the game. It was always like the setup and making the games happen. So like you had to get in a lobby, and you had to get all the people in the lobby, and you couldn't drop in and join out.
I mean,
or
that's
whatever.
The problem with every single janky multiplayer game.
Yeah, so we'll see. I guess the trailer looked good.
It looked great.
Lego House Museum. This is a museum that's in Finland. Where's Lego?
Denmark. Doesn't exist yet.
It doesn't exist yet. But there's a video showing like the renders, architectural renders is kind of what they look like of what this is going to be. And the whole thing looked like Lego.
Yeah. Look like big blocks of Lego, you know, house sized.
It looked really cool. You should watch the video. It's on the internet. Yeah. There's a gold iPhone rumor. We haven't talked about this yet. So just to be clear, the idea is that on a normal white iPhone, there's silver around the edges and on the back. The gold would be in that spot.
Gold or champagne?
See, I think it's
a very big difference.
Yeah, the very first rumor was gold, and the immediate image is a gold brick. Right.
Well,
or the
gold cases you see in the kiosk.
Exactly.
Mall,
which apparently
those look awesome.
Very well. Gold.
They probably have done some research on this.
The research shows, and the anecdotal research by the journalists shows that the aftermarket modifications of the iPhone, because you can get it skinned and colored, one of the most
popular colors. Yeah, there's a place at the local mall that does it, yeah.
Is gold.
Yeah. Because people are classy.
And what insiders...
It's just like getting your rims done, right?
What people in the know is that it's real, and this will be another way that they're going to differentiate between like an iPhone 5S and iPhone 5.
People
and the
like, for example,
5C.
Donald Trump. Understand that one way to communicate to the world that you are a person of refined taste and sophistication and wealth is just to have everything made out of gold.
Have you ever been into the lobby of the Trump Tower in New York? It's just
pure class.
It's the classiest thing I've ever seen.
It's so classy.
It's
like, you know, in the same way that Saddam Hussein was classy, right? All that gold shit that
he did have a lot of
tiger
gold
skin. They should do a tiger skin iPhone.
It's a pretty good idea.
It was better than the hardwood backing or whatever the wood veneer of the.
I like the hardwood. I like the back cases you could put on the four.
Anyway,
the wood ones.
Makes it look
like a PT Cruiser.
Apple's not going to do a phone that looks like a gold ingot. It obviously
so
is
So what people
tacky.
Have said now is that it's more of a, like you said, a champagne color.
Right.
And it will likely be like some type of anodized material.
Champagne is historically a color that is not unassociated with high-end electronics. There are many like...
Beige.
Well, not beige. But
it's on the beige scale, right?
But I can think of many like, you know, AV receivers, very, very high-end Bang & Olufsen, like specialists like AV receivers and DVD players and sound components are often in that champagne.
I thought those are gaudy too.
What?
Those are gaudy also.
I don't think, I think gold is gaudy, but I don't think champagne is.
Well, I think, you know, like it's silver, like, it's like even a yellowing looks of white. Gaudy. Yeah,
it's like you're oxidized SNES.
Right now, there,
but the, now it comes pre.
I got to be careful because this could kind of come off real bad. But right now, you've got the two opposite ends of the spectrum, right?
You know, those are black and white.
Yes.
Right,
a dark gray and a pearl white.
Yeah. When they start adding in, like, why not do like a sky blue to bring out the color in your eyes?
Well, I mean, Apple, a big part of Apple's resurgence was the simple genius of having products in multiple colors.
Well, and then they backed away from that as they.
And I think they're coming around full circle again.
But they still are, though. I mean, the iPod range.
And the
rumored iPhone 5C, the lower end one, there are pictures online of multiple color plastic cases for that also.
So we're like, what, 2 weeks away from...
3 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
The 10th, September 10th, 2 weeks away.
Oh, shit. Yeah, two and a half. Yeah, okay.
From this being announced. Yeah. And there's likely going to be an event on September 10th. No invites have been sent out yet, but we're likely going to see a new line of iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
It would be shocking if there was no new iPhones.
Well, it'll be... If the past history holds, it will be an updated body of the iPhone 5 and then a cheaper iPhone.
Well, If the history holds, they would move the line down, because what they've typically done the past 2 years is last year's model becomes $100 model, and 2 years ago model becomes the free model, contract,
right?
But they can't do that this year, because then they would have an iPhone 5 as the $100 model and the 4S as the free model, and I don't think they want to keep the 4S around any longer because they want to move.
Right. So the 5C becomes that.
So the 5C becomes the free on contract, which is the quote unquote. Low budget, cheaper.
The idea, though, iPhone. Is it's still a Retina resolution screen. Right?
I think the idea is that it's going to be thicker than the 5, and it's cheaper to make because it's plastic back.
And same CPU and stuff.
And I think it'll have
the same
CPU as the 5, and basically,
that's the proposition they'll be able to make. You know, this is not a compromised phone; it's a cheaper build.
It just doesn't look
same
as, phone.
And the compromise thing is really interesting because a lot of people are afraid that Apple is going to take away features like Siri. On the lower cost one, I think that would be a mistake.
No, they won't do that. But whatever the new phone is, will have some feature that is arbitrarily exclusive.
Right.
To that
so
phone.
If you want to save some money, you can get a free phone on contract and get something that basically same functionality as iPhone 5, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
iPhone 5 has $100. If you want something that's thinner, lighter, looks a little better.
Yeah.
5S, if you want something that maybe has the gold color, maybe has a better camera, has a new processor, it's even faster, it's going to run iOS 7 faster, because iOS 7 is a little more demanding than 6 right
this
now.
This will also allow them to standardize the screen sizes,
I think that's the most important.
Developers, I'm sure, would appreciate that.
That's the important thing.
The screen size and also the port.
Right.
The 4S.
Lightning connectors across the board.
Well,
yep.
And the other thing is they have...
Is the 4S the last product that has the old dock connector
and
that they can still buy?
iPad 2 you can still buy.
You can still buy an iPad 2? 2, yeah.
You can still buy an iPad 2.
But no iPad 3.
Right.
I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, the developers have to update, or they don't have to, but there are strong indications that a great number of developers are going to update their apps for the iOS 7 look, because you don't get the new keyboard and stuff like that unless you update some core stuff in your app.
Yeah, they've got to do it, right? Because it's such a major change in the look of the overall design of the phone that if you've got an old fat iOS 6 designed app, it's really going to stick out like a sore thumb.
So it gives an opportunity to encourage people who have apps that are still in active use to also update for the new resolutions at the same time.
What would get you to buy the 5S?
I mean, show me what you got.
If it's just a camera and faster processor, is that enough?
I say every year that I'm going to skip the S. I haven't done it yet. Let's see what they have.
The 4S was a mistake to upgrade mid-contract.
I would like to... I'm now finally kind of lined up in such a way that I can skip the S and get the free one when... and get the 6. I don't know if they're even going to do an S, but we're not hearing anything yet about... And usually at this point in the cycle, there's some kind of rumor that's building momentum about, you know, the bigger screen size, for example, with the 5... By this point in the cycle, that was already had a lot of weight behind it. Mm-hmm. All I'm hearing this time is a gold stroke champagne case, whatever, and
an expected new processor.
Fingerprint scanner.
Right.
Don't care about that.
Yeah.
I actually would be useful for me because I have a lock on my phone and I'm tired of always typing it in.
Right.
But it's not. I think there's nothing there yet that is going to have. All the analysts and all the people that like to, you know,
criticize
Apple
love the
say,
fight.
Oh, Apple's got their mojo back. Like, what's that feature?
No. Well, and the other thing that's going to happen this time is all the carriers have plans that allow you to upgrade your phone more frequently. So my hunch is that they're going to limit the supply of full price phones early on to try to encourage you to sign up for the rip-off plans.
But the point is, though, Apple's not in the business of trying to please people like us and the tech analysts. The analysts come out after every keynote and go, oh, Apple's lost it, and then Apple just come out next quarter and just post even bigger and bigger results. They don't give a shit. They know what they're doing. The 5C, the entry into the low-end market, is not sexy, but that has the potential to make billions.
And it's not an entry.
And totally changed what the market looks like.
It's not an entry in the low-end market because they're already in that market with the free iPhone 4 on contract.
Right.
But that, I mean, if you're talking about a free iPhone 4 on contract or something that's basically the same as iPhone 5.
Yes, that's the difference.
But multicolor, which people want.
Yes, colors are huge.
And plastic, which means it's less prone to maybe snapping or breaking than glass, then that's going to sell.
My prediction is the biggest story that will come out of Apple's reveal, whatever it is, will not be anything to do with the next high-end iPhone, because I don't think they'll have anything, you know, particularly magical. iOS 7 is such a big upgrade that it's going to feel like that's a big part of it anyway. The 5C, which I think is a real thing, that'll be the big story. Everyone will be cynical about it, and then Apple will go away and quietly make billions upon billions of dollars with it.
Sounds good to me. Let's talk about TiVo's new DVR. They announced the Romeo Plus and Pro. This is they only have one model of DVR now. It's called the Romeo. It's kind of an unfortunate name.
It's called a Romeo?
Romeo. It's an unfortunate name.
Oh, because it
like
roams.
Romeo.
That's terrible.
It's six tuners. Uses I assume cable card, but I don't know
you
about
record
that.
Six shows at once.
Six shows at once.
Wow.
You can record
is there
six time shows at once.
In an entire week at any point of the year, maybe it's like
there aren't even
sports.
Six shows throughout the course of throughout the week that I want to watch, let alone all at once.
Okay, so every time we say this, we get in trouble. People
in
complain.
Big households,
so that
I want
right,
to hear.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
So here's the thing. If you have a couple of kids who are TV watching age, which none of us do.
They're on Netflix.
Okay. You watch
that's
sports.
That's a good point.
If you watch basketball or football or baseball, there are times on the day. Probably not football, but
sports is the only
basketball
thing left
and football
that is
and baseball.
To
but baseball, you're paying. You get on demand.
Okay.
If you're paying for, MLB.
Well, you can get on demand for any of this stuff. I don't think that changes the idea that people sometimes want to watch the thing and be able to switch back and forth between them. The other thing is, if you have kids, they will want to watch TV, at least in theory. I mean, they're probably also using the internet and stealing shit and doing all the stuff that kids do now that we're told by the New York Times. But
that's how you know what kids are doing.
Yeah, well, the Times is on it, man.
It's like the Gillette six blades on the razor.
I think it's only five blades, isn't it?
No,
it's six.
It's six if you include the little
fusion with
the
one on the
Gillette
back.
Which is actually quite handy for getting like right there.
Extra blade and TiVo will add extra
tuners. The Romeo Plus has the TiVo Stream built in, which is the thing that lets you turn your iPad into a TV.
That's a good feature.
Which is fucking awesome, because that means I can roll over in bed on Sunday morning and like be like, hey, what's going on? And you can stream live TV.
Because that, unlike six channels at once, actually speaks to the way that people look at screens these days.
And you can also cache stuff from the TiVo on the iPad. So if you get on a plane or something like that, you can watch
your like
TiVo stuff offline.
Wow.
Which, as far as I know, you can't do without a lot of work otherwise.
That's worth
the
subscription price.
And then they also have apps. And the new models apparently let you watch apps and TV at once.
I would love it.
The knock I have against the current one, the TiVo I have at least, is that you can't watch on demand and record shit at the same time, which is bad.
I don't know if they talked about it at all, but just to go back to Xbox, you know, because Xbox is putting a lot of effort into having this thing be your TV as well.
They're spending money on that.
If they would build similar functionality through smart glass or something where I could pick up my Surface or my iPhone, whatever it is I have, and do the same thing.
But Xbox doesn't do that. Xbox sits on top of your DVR and is just a remote control for your DVR.
Right, but once it becomes a conduit to it, it can output it any way it wants.
Not really, because the way HDMI works.
It's just a front end.
Yeah, it's just a front end. So they're just passing through HDMI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like if they did that, they'd have to get content deals with everyone, and there's no way. Like the reason TiVo can do this and the reason you can't do the caching thing with your shit from HBO is that HBO has a deal with TiVo that says we're not going to allow you to do this, but you can use DVR functionality on our shows. It's interesting. TiVos are still crazy expensive, and it has the monthly charge, or
how
you pay even more.
But honestly,
the monthly charge is like $12 or $15, or you pay $300 for a lifetime.
Never been closer in my life to cutting the cable. Never, ever been. I'm so close. I feel like I'm right there.
And so there's a lot of news about that, too. You saw the thing about ESPN, right?
What was the last
ESPN
thing?
ESPN has basically said, look, We're interested in talking to non-traditional content providers as long as you allow us to bundle all of our channels as one subscription.
Right.
So they are going to let you get like ESPN and ESPN2 and not get ESPN News or ESPN
U and everything
else. But as long as somebody is willing to pay $10 or $15 or whatever.
Or as long as for the cut they get from Comcast.
Yeah, as long as what they get is appropriate. The bundling thing seems like it's on the way out. Which is the bundling is the deal breaker on cord cutting. If I could pay $10 a month or $20 a month for the channels I actually watch instead of $120 for all the shit I don't watch and five channels.
Yeah, it's like $5 a year. Honestly, I think
about a typical week of television watching for me. And other than just when it's on in the background and I'm watching just trash that I'm not even thinking about, like shows that I actually want to watch.
Yeah.
I could just watch them all on iTunes the next day.
Yeah.
And buy those season passes and probably spend less than what my cable bill is.
Again, for serendipity.
You don't watch sports.
That never happens, though. That used to happen in the old days of real channel surfing, when you would go, and you go, oh, this looks interesting. But you don't do that anymore. You surf a program guide. That's not the same, though.
It is not the same.
As going, like, actually catching a live image. You go, oh, what's that guy's wrestling a big fish? I want to watch that.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get.
There are plenty of people wrestling big fish on TV right now.
I know, but like, I don't know, maybe they should put the titles right up front. Like, dude, if there was a show called Guys Wrestling Big Fish.
As opposed to,
that might catch my balls.
That might catch my attention the same way.
Absolutely.
But there's so little I want to watch.
The rise of HD and H.264 compression for TV has completely fucked up the ability to channel surf, because that lag, the lag between one channel and the next means you can't just bump up through the channels.
Yeah.
If everyone's analog, things would be better.
Yeah. I miss the days of just rapid fire machine gunning through channels and catching – something catches your eye. Oh, what's that?
Yeah, but
you're
absolutely
anymore.
Right. You're never going to watch the Catfish Hunter.
You always stop at
scrolling
Antique
through those
Road
guides,
Show.
Which even with the latest boxes is always like agonizingly slow. Oh. It's just
hit the on-demand button and then it's like loading another set of menus.
So slow.
So these things are reasons I pay for TiVo. Like the ability to blast through channels really quickly is the guide is fast.
You know what? I can deal with
but
it.
But what are you watching? Like, what do you actually watch?
I don't watch?
Watch
anything. I never watch fucking TV.
So what's the, why are you
well,
paying for it?
Well, my wife watches TV.
Why are you paying for it?
Because my wife watches TV.
I really think like we're at a point where I could actually just survive.
Go ahead and do it and let me know how it goes.
I could just survive
Leah.
Off an Apple TV box
cable,
at this point.
Cable news, MSNBC is just
Nope.
Even, I used to, I can't even watch TV news
it's a
anymore.
Trap.
It's all trash.
It's eating dinner.
How do you watch?
John
Stewart on.
Yeah, I don't even do that anymore. But again, all that's all the next day. Pay $8 a month for Hulu and you get all that stuff the next day.
Yeah, but then you have to watch ads. I don't watch ads.
You're
going
to have to watch ads anyway.
No way, dude. I fast forward through the ads.
But you still have to do that.
I'm really good at that now.
I like the ads.
Years of practice. I'm not going to get deep in the NSA thing because it's a really complex story, but I feel like we should probably talk about it at some point. They have now gotten caught grabbing a shitload of emails that they shouldn't have. The uproar that I kind of expected to come hasn't. People don't seem to care much. But it's something like 200 million internet communications a year. And now the word has come out that they're saving anything that's encrypted for 5 years on the theory that if they can't decrypt it now quickly in 5 years, processing power will advance enough that they can.
Yeah, but by then, what use would that information be?
It depends on what it is. Who knows?
You never know, I suppose.
Yeah. It's an incredibly complex topic. It seems like the Guardian has
the best
stuff on this.
So if you're someone that's using encryption because you're worried about this kind of stuff, you're actually perhaps more likely to be scooped up by the NSA.
Well, yeah, anything that originates or goes out of the country email-wise, it's encrypted, is automatically stored, it sounds like.
Right.
In its encrypted state. There's a whole bunch more to it. The most interesting thing I saw was something on Boing Boing yesterday that was a link to an article in the New York Times from the 90s that basically said, look, in the coming age of the computer, if we don't get in control of the NSA, we're all fucked. And it turns out they were right. Who knew? The Times was on
it. Sign up for Prism. It's a great new service.
What's Prism, Norm?
Yeah. At the same time, though, very few people blow us up these days, which is actually pretty good.
Yes.
You got to remember the other side of the conversation, which is some guy walks into a building with a bomb around his chest and blows up 500 people. And I would rather be having the conversation we're having now than the conversation about why that guy was sending emails for weeks about how he was going to do this and we didn't see it coming.
Well, we had that conversation.
Yeah.
We had that conversation in 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005.
Yeah.
And so far...
And we have it much less now.
The plots that have been stopped involved a guy who couldn't figure out how to ignite his shoe bomb. And now we
how
all take off our socks.
Plots, how do you know what plots?
Well, we don't know what plots.
They don't. That's the whole point about the CIA and the SNA. A lot of the stuff that they do when they stop shit from blowing up all the time, and they don't tell you about it because it's better to not tell you.
In your home country, they're stopping spouses of journalists who are going through the airport.
Yes,
and confiscating all of their computers, harassing them for passcodes.
Yes,
and using laws that were ostensibly created to stop terrorists.
Yes,
to detain people who are very clearly not terrorists.
And there are two sides to that story.
There are always two sides to that
story. And everyone is decamped into one side or the other with no ability to hear the other person's side. I'm trying to be on the middle of that and say, yes, journalistic freedom and public freedom and all that stuff is brilliant. We should protect it. Also, I don't want to be blown up.
I think we're all pro not getting blown up.
And who knows what was actually on those computers and how dangerous it may have been if it got out into the public realm. We don't know. So
you're saying trust the government.
I'm saying don't leap to one conclusion or the other without having all the information.
But we're never going to get all the information.
I try to recognize the value of both sides here. Public freedom, freedom of journalism, all that stuff absolutely must be protected. Also, we must be protected from being blown up. And threading that needle is very difficult, and I wouldn't want to have that job. This is why the people that do it now, who apparently have overstepped on a few occasions.
Yeah. Violated the rules of the agreements that were set up to retain them.
They're in trouble.
To contain them, yeah. Yeah.
But I don't go, oh, this is terrible, or these people, everything they're doing is okay. I think the truth is, as is often the case, somewhere in between.
That's unusually even-handed for you.
Waving behind you, Gary.
That eagle on your shoulder is...
It was very presidential. It's some of that Saints Row. Some of that, it
must be playing Saints Row.
Cancer or end world hunger?
That technically could be considered a spoiler. It's too early in the game to be considered a spoiler.
It's the first three minutes.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a little bit.
NASA is using... Speaking of things that are good news, NASA used a Global Hawk drone, is using a couple of them to monitor hurricanes and weather stuff. So drones aren't all just for blowing up people in their houses, remote from remote control, or Terminator-style end-of-the-world business.
I think there are way more drones not doing that than there are drones
that is
definitely
You know what the NSA should do to totally turn it around? Just add an A into they could call themselves the National American Security Agency. and then when people go on the street and say, hey, what do you think about what NASA's doing? Like, people go, I think it's great. It should be supported. But they wouldn't know what they're actually talking
about. That's the best way to get rid of the NSA, because nobody's going to fund the NASA budget.
That's right.
Bradley Manning got 35 years for the WikiLeaks stuff.
Chelsea Manning,
sorry. I wrote in the notes before the disclosure, the change happened. And Netflix has
this is
a highly political
thing. Piss off
today.
A lot of people this week. Talking about games is bad enough, but now eventually
I'm just going to call this one the Rage Cast.
Yeah,
put it out there.
Yeah,
it's the rage in the listeners' part.
There's a lot. Yeah, I mean, we're all perfectly calm, but the listeners
rage against the podcast.
Blood's going to be boiling.
Yeah, people are screaming at their radios right now. I don't read the comments.
No, I'm just going to not read it.
Netflix instant queue changes. Multiple. You've probably seen this. If you had multiple instant queues in the old DVD days of Netflix on your account, as I did, like Gina had a queue and I had a queue, each of us had a couple of discs.
Profiles, right?
Profiles. Mm-hmm. Now there are individual lists. So when you sign up, when you start a Netflix app now, it says, hey, are you Will or are you Gina?
Yeah, launched a couple weeks
ago. Doesn't do that on my Apple TV yet.
It does. You need to update your Apple TV.
Oh, I'll update it. Okay.
App-based.
So family members can have different queues, basically.
Well,
different profiles.
And they've gotten rid of the instant. Well, they've renamed the instant queue to My List.
My List, yeah.
And now it is a mixture of things that you've added and things that they think you'll like based on your viewing habits.
No, don't do that. They never get it right.
It's pretty good.
No.
What are the things they've recommended?
Well,
name one thing, two things that they recommend that you didn't on your list.
It's never worked. The whole point, the whole section that says, like, because you watched this, you might like that. I almost never.
I've seen that. There's a reason it's not my list.
I've seen it already.
Yeah. There's a reason. I didn't add it yet.
That's how I found out Archer was on Netflix, I guess. Because it was like, because you've watched Parks and Rec, you might like this. It's stuff that I wouldn't search, because how else are you going to discover stuff?
Until they can refine
it's an
that,
infinite list of content.
Until they can actually like get right into my brain and predict with like really good accuracy what I will actually like.
Football in the groin.
I think, well, that's everybody likes that. I think the predictive stuff is shockingly good. Like if you go to the front page of Netflix, of Amazon
now,
right
all
now.
All it does is reveal how limited the content actually is.
Well, that's a whole other that is absolutely true. I think digging deep and finding stuff that they think I'm going to like is always a good thing. I mean, you don't have to use it. I'm sure you can turn it off.
No, I'll check it out.
And that's it. Unless anybody else has anything they want to add to the news section, we can play some music and talk about what we've been testing. Gary, Norm, I think we've all been playing Saints Row the Fourth.
Saints Row 4.
Saints Row 4.
Yeah, it was Saints Row the Third, but now it's just Saints Row 4.
It's been on our head so much, I thought GTA 5 was GTA 4.
That's probably where that makes sense.
I can see that. It's really okay. So I'm of two minds because as I was playing last night, I was like, man, this is like because I went back and played Saints Row the Third a little bit to kind of get back in the Saints Row vibe. Yep, yeah,
because it is a very specific vibe.
You have to be in the right headspace.
You're not going
to
find that vibe anywhere else.
No. It's a unique experience.
Paint a word picture for people for Saints Row the Three at least, because at least I think we're past the point where we can spoil some stuff in that game. What is the context of Saints Row in relation to other exploration games?
It's a parody.
I mean, so the Saints Row series obviously started as, frankly, a ripoff of GTA. That's exactly what it was. And,
hey, this thing's popular. We should make one of those.
And they did it. The only difference they really made was like they had a little. It was a little bit more fun. It took itself a little less seriously than GTA.
It was a little lowbrow, but not in a negative way.
And then the second one was better and improved a lot on the first one, but still had the same kind of tone. Like it was a bit. It was more comedic than GTA, but still basically just kind of GTA light.
If GTA was trying to make Goodfellas, then Saints Row was trying to make My Blue Heaven. Maybe not My Blue. I don't know of any comedy gangster movies.
Farcical gangster movies.
Yeah, farcical gang. There's not been a. This is a. Maybe this is a growth opportunity for us. We should start making parody gangster movies.
There was a huge. Huge shift between the second and the third games. When Saints Row the Third came out, somebody had made a decision to just take a radical new direction, and Saints Row the Third just went into broad, balls out, farcical comedy, just
crazy bananas.
Who cares?
Yeah.
And then even the opening sequence in 3, you're jumping out of airplanes and then back into the airplane.
I mean, it turns into like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Well, it's kind of like the Expendables, right? It's like.
I think it's further down the dial even than that.
I agreed. It's just absolutely ludicrous.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Anytime there's an opportunity to do something that's either serious or super dumb, they turn the dial all the way to the super dumb.
So they had
side.
A lot of fun with it. And as I said at the time, I think their design philosophy, as I understood it, was like, is it fun? If so, we're doing it. And all other considerations, who cares?
Right. And can we make it more fun?
Yeah. And as a result, they made a game which was spectacularly fun to play.
So you're talking about all the things in GTA, which, again, super fun, that might have been boring or bothersome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your car would wreck if you bumped into someone.
Right.
Right. All that.
Yeah. It was two things that very much appealed to me. It was the absolute just insane comedy of it. It just balls out wackiness of the storyline. It was so ridiculous. I mean, you know, big purple dildos and guys walking around with massive heads and all the stupid stuff.
And like mascots on every corner.
Yeah, it's just absolute.
And a game show that's all about killing people.
Yes,
right?
Just absolute insanity. Like they're completely detached from any form of reality. Yeah. That was fun. And then the design aspect, it was just tremendously fun to play.
Burt Reynolds as your sidekick.
If it was anything that you enjoyed doing, this game could probably provide it for you.
Well, and so the thing that they did a good job with is they kind of, it's also a streamlined version where GTA has frequently been about serious stuff. Like if you want to not get fat as a character, you have to go, you know, work out. In San Andreas, you had to go work out and you couldn't eat hot dogs too much. And it was a real pain in the ass.
Right. Whereas in Saints Row 4, you can start your character right off the bat as an insanely hideous monster. You just create any kind of character you want to create.
My character in Saints Row looks like the Predator's mom.
If you want to run around in a dress or basically naked or in a space suit, whatever you want,
it's all there.
Fuck it, just do it. That's their attitude.
Okay, so
now you would think they would have hit some kind of ceiling with that,
because
you were fighting the military.
You
went inside Tron type virtual reality worlds, and you're like, where can they go from here?
Right.
Somehow they found an attic above the ceiling that they have now inhabited with Saints Row 4, and they've taken it to the next level where now you've gone from the leader of this street gang to the President of the United States.
I didn't think they could beat it the last time.
And they did.
That was the ridiculous thing the last time, is that they'd gone from being like neighborhood toughs who took over a city's crime
business to Saints Row 3, they'd become global celebrities.
Yeah.
They had their own energy drinks.
Yeah. Who also were criminals.
They had their own reality shows. And they were like just walking around in the open as just like master criminal gangbangers.
They couldn't rob banks because people recognize them and adore them.
Right.
One of my favorite dumb things about Saints Row the Third is that you will be running along the street in the middle of like a chase or running away from somebody or shooting people up, and then you'll see the little thing with the picture pop up, and that means somebody wants your autograph.
Right.
So you can pause it in the middle of this thing, take a picture with somebody, and then go on.
So the next level, of course, is, well, where do you go from there? Well, okay, now as the leader of the Saints, you are the president of the free world.
Yeah. Everybody knows this. We don't need to explain the plot. It's
fighting off an alien invasion.
Sounds like Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
It sounds like the game that Duke Nukem Forever should have been.
Yes. The game that the Duke Nukem games, I think, desperately wanted to be, but didn't have the sophistication or wit to get to this level that Saints Row is now at.
That seems right.
But the same design philosophy applies even more so. Again, is this something that players want to do? Yes. Then it's going in the game no matter what we have to do to get it in there. Without spoiling, they've come up with a conceit that allows them to do that.
And also something you tweeted earlier this week, and something they really built on from 3 was making it like calling out things from the best things you love from other games.
It's almost become like one of those bad parody movies where they parody all the popular movies from the last couple of years. Yeah, but like actually done well. So like I'm walking around and go, oh shit, I'm playing Mass Effect now. Or I'm playing Call of Duty.
Or Fallout 3.
Or I'm playing Fallout. Or I'm playing
Portal,
Infamous, or Crackdown, or all my favorite games are just all in this game. They don't call it out,
but it's just referential without being tedious, kind of.
It's really good.
So it's incredibly fun.
You get superpowers.
It's incredibly silly. Like, the first hour is just ridiculous. You go, well, where do they go from here? And then each hour just becomes more and more ridiculous.
It's very self-aware too.
It's super duper self-aware,
and I think it's the most refined version of this kind of sandbox gameplay. Which is like, are you tired of doing that? There's like 50 other things you could do. You might find more interesting, and at any given time, you can be doing something that you find interesting.
Because in the sandbox games, which GTA 3 made real popular, the 3D sandbox games, as open as those games were, the openness called attention how restricted those games were.
Right,
you couldn't. The hard walls were there. You had to
unlock the second and third areas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here, jump from building to building.
Yeah, and again, a lot of that become jarring in games like GTA is it was very hard to provide that level of flexibility in a way that still felt like the context of the game had integrity. Whereas in Saints Row, again, with Saints Row, one of the first design choices they made is, well, we don't care about that. Just do whatever you want. It doesn't matter if it makes sense.
So... Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, hey, every time you play, one of the big things that was appealing to me about Crackdown, the first one, was that when you play GTA, the whole time I'm thinking, man, it would be really, like, this is the way to make a Superman game. Just give me a big-ass world, let me go around and do some stuff and get crazy.
Yeah.
Same thing for those early Spider-Man games.
Yeah.
So this is, you have superpowers in a big open space, world game.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
if you ever
wanted to be Niko Bellic, and Commander Shepard, and Neo from The Matrix, all in one game, this is the game that provides that.
So the only thing I'll say is that the word on the street is that the performance on at least the Xbox version, maybe the PS3 version, is impacts gameplay.
Yeah, that's we've been playing on PC, so we're a little bit spoiled.
This isn't PC elitism. It's not like a 60 frames a second versus 30 frames a second thing. The word from Brad is that it's like under 30 frames a second.
It's not elitist to say that you are just going to have a better experience on a PC. It's a more powerful system.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
It will probably be a good shot. I haven't played everything yet, but it's a good shot of my game of the year. Just as Saints Row 3 was my game of the year 2 years ago.
What do you think?
Tied with Portal 2.
What do you think about the combat?
I love the variety.
It's very much the same as Saints Row 3.
Well, so the thing,
the enemies are super dumb.
I like the weapons.
The enemies in these games.
The weapons
are
a lot of fun weapons this year. They've added some good stuff.
I didn't realize it before, but there's a whole melee combat system in there too.
Yeah, you can do wrestling moves and suplexes and stuff.
And when you do like super speed running into people and then punch right before you hit them, all sorts of weird stuff happens. It's really good.
Yeah.
The superpower stuff adds a whole another level of variety on top of the gunplay. And there's a boatload of new guns.
And I can't state it enough. It's so few video games that so passionately embrace just the silliness of it all. And you're like, who cares? Let's just have fun.
Video games are dumb.
Not every game has to be about agonizing moral choices or emotion.
There is an agonizing moral choice.
There is. Right at the very beginning. That's the great thing. They satirize these other games and actually kind of top them in a way. Like, there's a choice-based mechanic at the start of the game, and it's a ridiculous choice, but it's actually really difficult to make. And they make these little homages. Yeah, I had a hard time with it. The first choice was difficult. The second one was easy.
I don't know that I remember the second choice.
Do you? It's about where you want to punch somebody.
Oh, yeah. I did have to think about that for a while. Yeah. That was important.
So anyway, it's great. And you should buy it and you should play it. You should, if you've never played Saints Row, I was telling a friend of mine the other day, this was the advice. If you've never played Saints Row 3, I said, pick that up first. Play that because that's still great and you can probably pick it up cheap now.
Yeah.
And have Saints Row 4 should not be your intro into the universe because I think it might actually be too much to take all at once.
It would be a little overwhelming.
Yeah, and you need and it's heavily referential to the previous Saints Row games.
In terms of the
characters. You should at least play 3. Yeah.
Well, the intro for the game basically tells the story of the Saints Row franchise.
Yes.
So the only knock...
You'll get so much more out of it if you've played the previous
the
games.
The only possible knock you could have against this game is that because of the story conceit that we're not going to get into, it is the same. The open world is more or less, with some big changes, but it's the same open world as Saints Row 3.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it started out as a mission pack, yada, yada. I think that from what I've seen so far, there's more than enough game to justify
it. To be fair, there are large portions of the game that take place outside of that.
I may not have gotten to those yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm loving it, and I'm playing it every night of the week, and I just can't get enough of it.
And you know, there's co-op,
it's one
apparently.
Of those, we should try that, too.
We should do that.
But it's one of those games where, like, as you're working throughout the day, you've got one eye on the clock thinking, like, 4 more hours to Saints Row. Like, that's when you know you've got a good game.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
One more game. We'll talk about a couple more games, I think. Norm, did you play Brothers yet?
I played Brothers yet.
Oh,
Will
Gary,
and I,
you play,
we
it's
played Brothers.
So good.
Fantastic game. Yeah. At the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So Brothers, right now is on Xbox Live Arcade. It's coming very soon to PC and PlayStation Network. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those shorter, very similar to Journey in many ways. It's a shorter game, very minimalist, beautifully evocative, beautiful graphics. Tells a very, very simple story. Tells a story in a very innovative way through story mechanics. And it's compelling and tugs on your heartstrings, and it has beautiful and amazing puzzle design.
I assume it's about brothers?
It's about two brothers. Yeah, it's about two brothers who go on a mission to save their ailing father.
The basic control mechanic for this is that you play one brother on the right side of the controller, and one brother is controlled on the left side of the controller.
It's a co-op game, but you play both characters at the same time. It's genius.
And it almost seems like a Molidu.
Like left-handed or right-handed people?
No.
Makes no difference.
There's not a whole lot of time.
Although each brother, because one's the older, bigger brother and one's the younger, smaller brother, each brother can do things the other one cannot do.
It almost seems like if you were doing the two-line pitch, the elevator pitch for this game, it seems like a Molyneux tweet. A Molyneux tweet.
A little bit.
Did you got two brothers? Left stick is one brother, right stick is the other brother. You go on an adventure.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
It's fantastic. And I actually think, even now having played Saints Row, and there's a couple of other big games that I need to get to, but it would almost certainly be my top three games of the year, and actually, even for one of these shorter games, has a good shot at being my game of the year because I think it's beautiful and fantastic. And I love it.
It is.
It's one notch below Journey, and Journey is like my game of the decade.
Wow.
It's for me. It's right up there with Bastion and kind of those games.
Yeah, it's up there. It's up there with Braid and Limbo, and all. It's going to be one of the greats of this generation, I think.
And even on the 360, which we just talked about having problems with Saints Row, it looks unbelievable.
Looks incredible.
It's an Unreal Engine.
Is it thumbstick only controls, or do you need to push other buttons?
The only controls you ever use are the two thumbsticks, two triggers, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm curious because I wonder if it would port well to a touchscreen.
It would be possibly. I think it would be difficult.
You could do it with tap controls.
It wouldn't be as good.
It would not be as good.
It wouldn't be as good. You do need the thumbsticks. I don't think it would work as well with a mouse and keyboard either. The mechanic is so tied to those two sticks.
Well, I'm saying on touchscreen, you could simulate the two thumbsticks.
The two thumbsticks on touchscreen always suck.
Yeah, but how does that usually work?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So not going to be good.
But you should absolutely play it. It's only $10 or whatever, however many Microsoft.
They don't do space bucks anymore.
Thank
God for that. Dollars now.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, it's really good. Everybody should play it. It's like 4 hours. And it is a game that rewards taking your time.
Yes. Don't try and blast through it. Experience it. It's the art assets, the quality of the production design, the art design is like it's a shorter game,
and frame
but it's like it's AAA $60 game level of production design.
Frame rate is more solid on the 360 on that game than anything I've seen in than anything I played on the 360 in like 3 years. Probably.
It's fantastic. It's actually my highest recommendation of the week. And again, this is a week that Saints Row came out.
Yeah. Norm and I took a test drive in an electric smart car.
Oh, can I talk about two other games real quick? Yes. Just briefly, just to get the games get out of the way.
Ragecast
just
continues.
Get it out of the way so that
people don't have to more come back games for the Ragecast.
Oh God, games again.
Yeah.
So Gone Home.
Yeah.
Is another beautiful, beautiful story based indie experience that just came out this past week and is wonderful.
Okay.
You should play that.
What platform?
PC right now.
PC and Mac right now.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to come to. I would like to see it come to other systems.
What type of venture, like? Side-scrolling?
No, it's a first-person perspective, story-based game. There's no combat. It's just a story experience. And you can't really talk about it without spoiling it.
I like these small games and these short games in particular. It's like buying those board games that say, you know, this takes 30 minutes to play,
yeah,
knowing it's only 2 to 4 hours.
Right. Again, you know, these days for me, yeah, time is at such a constraint. That a game that says I can have the whole experience in 2 hours or 3 hours, that's actually a positive for me.
I have time for maybe one 40 to 50 hour game this year, and it's probably going to be Saints Row.
I mean, it's like same with me. GTA 5 is coming out. I'm going to have to deal with that.
GTA.
You have to stack these things up. Like it's actually I'm 3 nights into Saints Row now, and I'm only at like 30% completion, and that's without doing any of the side stuff. I've done some of it, but like it's actually Keith overwhelming so how much there is to do. So shorter games like Brothers and Gone Home and Thomas Was Alone, which is the other game I've been playing recently, that you can actually have the complete experience and the satisfaction of finishing a game, especially when story's involved, you want to see the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very appealing. So those are the games I've been enjoying lately. Those are all my recommendations.
Thomas Was Alone, Gone Home, Saints Row.
And Mark of the Ninja, but people know about that one.
Mark of the Ninja is great. Everybody should play Mark of the Ninja. Mark of the Ninja made me better at stealth games. If you have time, you should play Dishonored. After Mark of the Ninja, you'll be all ready for Dishonored.
Yeah, I'm going to get into Dishonored. It's real good. That looks like a lot of fun. The guy that made Thomas Was Alone is now just revealed his new stealth-based game, Volume. That looks really, really, really cool.
What was
the
stealth game? What was the other game you were playing that I was like, you have to play it as a stealth? Oh, Last of Us.
That's the other big game that I have to know. That's why I feel like I can't seriously talk about Game of the Year because I know that's going to be up there.
Shame.
I'll get there.
Norman and I took a smart car for a test drive. It was electric.
Yeah.
It was very small.
Is that a new thing that they're bringing out?
Yes.
Yeah, they're new. They're relatively inexpensive.
Things we learned from this drive. 100% grade is 45% 45 degree angle.
Yes.
When you talk about grade of a elevation.
Okay. Yeah, because it's you find out the percentage by doing the height over the distance. Height you go up over the distance. So we were almost at 100% grade. We learned.
What so, did you just drive around the city?
We drove around. We got on the freeway.
Okay.
Which was terrifying. We got that thing up to 80 miles an hour, which is 2 miles an hour, then it's recommended top speed.
What kind of range does it have?
75 miles.
How does that compare to like a Leaf or a Tesla or something?
75 miles.
All the same?
Oh, no. Teslas are the only. Most of the pure electric cars are 70-ish mile range, according to the EPA.
Mm-hmm.
The Tesla is the one exception. And if you get the expensive model with the huge battery, you can go like 300 miles.
Right.
But for the most part, the electric only cars, the reason they're only sold in California right now is because they are designed for people to drive as commute cars.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy direct from Smart.
You can buy direct from Smart. You can also pick them up at Mercedes dealerships, I think. But there's no negotiation or anything like that with Smarts, as I understand it.
Yeah, because they're so backordered, they don't need to.
I don't think that's
the thing with Tesla too.
It's like a 2 month wait now for a Tesla.
Well, they've either caught up or the manufacturing is much more efficient now. 50% of smart cars are in like 5 cities in the U.S., 5 regions, including Bay Area, L.A., Atlanta.
Yeah.
And California sells so many smart cars or electric cars. I'm sorry, electric cars because there's a tax deduction.
Yep.
So you get a big rebate.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a federal tax deduction and a state tax it's not a rebate. It's a credit.
And also with companies like Tesla, they sell directly. You can buy it online and get in the queue, and you don't have to deal with any dealership, middleman, salesperson, or anything.
I like that. I saw a little TV news piece about the BMW has an electric coming.
The i3,
yeah. They look quite nice.
So I was looking once I started doing the research when we so the smart people emailed and asked if we wanted to come drive one of these cars. And I was like, yeah, sure. Of course, that sounds like fun. We'll do a dumb video. And I started looking at the cost of electric cars in terms of – because we're one of our cars is reaching end of life and it's time to replace. And I was like, you know, we have one car that we only drive that I only gets driven basically to the office and then to Adam's shop sometimes to shoot and then back home.
Right, and that's well in range of an electric car.
It's 55 miles at the outside.
But you definitely would need to charge it overnight every time you bring it home.
So – and then I started looking at electricity because we have a kind of a high electric bill. But the way – smart car. If you have a plug-in electric car, the way power works for that is that you pay like $1,000, $1,500 to put in a charging station, so you can do 220 volt charging, mm-hmm. which will charge the whole thing in like 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
It's a physical installation in your house.
It is a physical thing that goes on the wall of your garage.
Would like Smart or Tesla come and do that in your house? Do they provide that service?
They will provide the service. You may, if you have space on your electrical. It depends on the dealer, I'm sure. But if you have space on your breaker box for 220 volts worth of breakers, then it'll cost more if you have to put a new breaker box.
Then what
happens
to your electric bill after that?
Well, so this is the interesting thing. You switch to a time of service electric plan. So right now, if you haven't changed your electric plan since you've been in a house for a while, you're probably paying a flat rate based on your usage. So until you get – if you get to 100% of the average usage in your area, you're paying like 22 cents per kilowatt hour. And then when you get above that, it starts going up progressively faster until you get to like 38 or 44 kilowatt hours.
It's quantity-based.
It's quantity-based. And it's based on the usage of your community. So since we live in an area where people don't have air conditioning, it's relatively low,
right.
Which means when we start running computers and TVs and shit all the time, it gets really expensive really fast.
Right.
However – when you get the electric car, you can switch to the time of service plan.
You can or you have to?
No, you can switch to time of service if you don't have an electric car,
yes.
too.
If you install
but you
solar
don't,
panels, for example. No,
even without installing solar panels.
I'm saying, yeah. For example, like Lloyd did.
Yes.
That's what he did.
And if you have time of service, then they charge you based on the times that usage is highest. So if you use electricity during the afternoon in the summer, then it's crazy expensive. If you use electricity during the evening or at late afternoon or early evening in winter when people are using electric heat, it's also crazy expensive. If you use electricity during low demand times, then you can get a much better rate. And if you have an electric car and are on the time of service, then you can get a crazy low rate at like 1 a.m. because they want to incentivize you to get electric cars and also to charge at that.
So does that mean that you can plug it in but set it to start charging at 1 a.m.?
So
okay.
Also do all your gaming at 1 a.m.
Right. So both the charging station and the cars on the more modern cars are both smart enough. So even if you plug it into like 120 volt plug, then the car will know not to start charging until, you know, 1 a.m. or whatever.
Right.
You usually tell the station what time you need to leave for your commute. And then it just figure – and what time the rate goes
so
down.
So the power company doesn't mind that you want all this power. They just don't want you to want it at the same time everyone else
is using
it.
Yeah, because the thing about power generation is there's no way to store it right now. So what you are buying is being generated almost immediately at a power plant someplace, whether it's nuclear, coal, gas, electric, solar, wind, whatever.
Right.
It's hard to scale down demand supply at night. When the demand goes down. So after midnight, when people start going to bed and they turn off their TVs and turn off their computers and all that stuff.
So where does all that excess power go?
It who knows?
Put fewer coals in the oven.
Right. They
fire.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, they just generate less.
Well, theoretically, but it's hard to do that because you can't having sags is much, much worse than having too much is my understanding. There's a couple of good books about this. One is called
When the Lights Go Out.
When the Lights Go Out. Thank you, Norm. And it explains how the whole thing works. It's really a really fascinating topic.
Okay.
The upshot is if you have an electric car and you're on a time of service plan in the part of California that I live in, you can get electricity after 1 a.m. for as low as 4.5 cents per kilowatt
hour. So it can actually
be
very cheap to charge your car.
To charge a Leaf or one of these smart cars or a Fiat 500e all the way up from zero, which you never do because you always have a little bit of electricity left when you pull in, costs $1.50.
Wow.
Max. Typically, 75 cents.
That's a big savings on whatever a tank of gas is.
So, yeah, it takes me 2 gallons of gas to drive to and from work. That's 40 miles. I fill up once a week. This costs 75 cents a day. I am test driving electric cars as we speak.
What looks good to you right now? What would you want to get?
The Nissan Leaf is interesting, but it's kind of expensive. The Fiat 500, which is the same body as all the Fiats you see driving around now.
Yeah.
Is a hellacious deal.
Fiat 500 electric.
The 500 electric.
I didn't even know there was an electric.
It's new. It's relatively new.
Okay.
And
would you consider a Volt to have the extra, the long journey?
I'm not interested in extra money. No, the headroom in the Volt is uncomfortable for me. It's not a big enough car for me. My head hits the ceiling.
Okay.
And also the extra cost of having the gas engine, I'd much rather have the pure electric and have no cost on my commute.
I know at least one person who has a Volt and they've had it for about a year and they haven't filled the tank once. Because they have never needed it.
Right. Well, so if you're going to drive like that, then why bother getting – why the other benefit of buying the pure electric car is that there's no moving parts basically. It's like an electric motor and then there's none of the other shit that's in a car that can break.
Right.
So you have to do brakes and you have to pay attention to the motor occasionally and the batteries last 10 years.
So there's the Leaf. There's the Smart.
The Fiat.
There's the Fiat. There's obviously the Teslas.
Yep. There's plug-in. There's a bunch of plug-in hybrids, but we're not talking about that.
BMW is coming out with a thing. Yep. I mean, there's going to be – over the next couple of years, there'll be more options.
Well, and the thing that's happened is the car companies make these to offset the high-end performance cars. So BMW has their thing so that they can do something that gets terrible gas mileage and goes 200 miles an hour. Like there's federal regulations.
That's
about
how it works, like average?
It's
like you have to have a certain amount of educational programming to have a broadcast license.
Exactly.
Wow.
So yeah, we're looking at the Fiat and the Leaf.
I feel like getting one even now, like it still feels a little bit on the early adopter side. I feel like two or even 1 year from now.
Well, so right now, it feels totally comfortable.
Yeah.
Because we're in fourth
generation.
It is
an established technology, yeah.
Right. I think for the electric stuff, I'm going to wait till the second generation Tesla.
I mean, here's the thing. We have a benefit of having two cars in our household. So we are we'll have one car that is the road trip driving around town on weekends car and has the car seat and Gina drives that. And then we'll have an electric that I can drive back and forth to work and has enough space for our cameras and shit when we go shoot something.
I don't know if that Fiat's going to have enough space.
Looking at the back seat and the trunk are enough to carry a camera bag and a couple of lights.
Might break your streak of never buying new cars.
Is this Smart Car video up already?
It is.
I'm going to check it out.
The benefit of paying 75 cents a day to drive to and from work is public transportation can't compete with that. Nothing I do can compete with that. I mean, I could ride a bicycle, but that takes 2 hours and I have to go up an enormous hill and probably risk death.
Pretty sweaty too.
Real sweaty. We don't have a shower here. If people have feedback, I know we have a couple of listeners who have Leafs and have had good luck with them. I think the Tesla is really interesting, but I'm not a $70,000 car guy. I'm not going to buy.
Yeah, that's the high end
on a car,
and that's the mid-range.
That's for the cheapo that doesn't go very far.
$50,000 for the cheapo, $70,000.
I don't think they have the $50,000 one anymore.
It's like $55,000.
Okay,
I think I'm going to wait for the X because that's more money.
You
got to
get in the pre-order right now.
Oh God,
I'm putting
again. I think I would just wait until they're
Falcon Wing.
I do like that.
Falcon wing
that means
doors.
That means you can't get out of the car in the garage.
I was going to say, is that a problem in tight parking
spaces? It opens in. It doesn't actually go out.
Oh, it's not gull wing.
Well, no, it's not gull. It's falcon. It's sleeker. The door, it opens from the side, but they design it in a way so it doesn't push out.
Okay.
It folds in.
All right. I'll look at that.
Yeah. I'd be
interested
to hear what people think.
It seems like, we're past the fad stage. It seems like this is going to stick around.
And to be perfectly clear, I'm probably not going to buy one of these outright. I'm probably going to lease it for like 2 years and see how it goes.
Yeah.
I don't feel super confident about the technology at this point. Because buying Italian cars seems really dangerous.
Is leasing one of those cars, the deals must be worse because the battery depreciates so much more, much quicker.
The one thing that I'm having trouble locking anyone down on that I've talked to so far is what the mileage is on these cars. My hunch is that it's 200 times the max mileage that you can drive on one charge, plus say 30 or 40%. Because if they're selling them as commuters, that's the number of days people commute. I don't know what the specifics on the leases are yet. I haven't gotten that far with anything, and I haven't driven the Fiat yet, so I don't know what the story is with that. Chromecast, we didn't talk about this yet, really. We talked about it a little bit.
So we had.
Did we talk about it 2 weeks ago?
I want to say, we're on this cusp of all these, experimental technologies. In about 3 years, I'm just going to jump on all of them. I'm going to get LASIK, which I know is, safe now. Get an extra car.
How bad is your vision?
It can always be better.
Okay.
Better in 2020. I'm doing all the experimental technologies once they're mature, all at once.
I've thought about getting LASIK.
Astronauts can have LASIK and be an astronaut now.
This new class had LASIK?
It's just in their regular, like,
that. No experimental surgeries, yeah.
No experimental, as long as it's LASIK in 2020.
Right. The sad thing is, you know what made me think about getting LASIK? Is the Oculus. I'm like, how much better would this be without my glasses on? Especially when that 1080p version comes out.
Hey, do you know that there's a panel now that it's 2560 at 1440p that might talk with Oculus?
We didn't talk about that.
Really?
5.5 inch.
Oh, man.
That's quad 720.
You could still see the screen door a little bit on the 1080p one, but I bet you wouldn't be able to on
that. So we're already past potential.
Have you tried the 1080p one?
Yeah, we tried it at E3. It's fucking awesome. Yeah, it was really good.
I cannot. If I could Cartman freeze myself to the day when Oculus 1080p is like a retail product that we can all play and enjoy, I would do that right now.
You would go past, and it would be like you wouldn't care about holiday.
I slept too long.
Oh, nobody has a Wii U.
Yeah,
or it was wasn't it?
It was a Wii.
Shut up, Kit 10.
The God, it's hard to believe that episode's 7 years old. I went to the eye doctor yesterday. I still don't qualify for LASIK.
What do you have to do to qualify?
Your cornea has to be thick enough to allow for the
That was a thing.
You can correct.
I might not even qualify.
I have a thin cornea. They can get me close, but they recommend PRK, which means I have halos and shit.
It's like the kid in Little Miss Sunshine who finds out he's colorblind and his dream of becoming a fighter pilot.
Yeah, exactly. That's when my dreams of being an astronaut faded away. This is when I realized I was blind.
You know, there's no age limitation either.
On astronauts?
Yeah. Can be
well, there's a lot of old astronauts. There's still time for me. I could go get engineering degrees.
Experience counts.
Yeah. Guys, I'm quitting. I'm going to go get an engineering degree, be an astronaut.
And LASIK.
Go to Mars.
And LASIK.
Yeah, LASIK. Contacts. I have one-day contacts now. Throw away. I wear them for one day and throw them away. It's the most wasteful thing I've ever done.
Yeah, disposables.
Yeah, they're really nice.
A thing, yeah.
Your eyeballs feel really awesome after putting those in. Chromecast. Norm doesn't like it. I think it's okay.
I'm sure we talked about this.
Well, there's a video up next week.
We did talk about it.
We won't be here next week because of Dragon Con and PAX. So,
right.
I just wanted to – that video will be up by the time next week's episode would have been up.
Okay.
Nexus 7, there's a video for that up now. People should watch the video. It's comprehensive.
All right. It's still liking it?
It's a really good tablet.
And also Google fixed those two problems that people had, GPS.
Oh, the GPS thing is fixed? Oh, good.
Both of those things fixed today.
That's good. Software fix, even.
Wasn't there a problem with the keyboard that people were complaining about?
They were complaining about the touchscreen on Nexus 7. That's fixed today.
It kind of wigged out occasionally, basically.
Phantom touches.
Okay.
Let's see. We have a couple of emails. You want to take some emails? We can take some questions, perhaps. Questions? Anything else? What we've been testing, Gary?
I'm trying to think if there's anything we've missed.
What have you,
I've been playing mostly games. Okay. I don't think I've really added any new technology or anything to speak of.
Oh, Sega.
Oh, yeah, God, we totally.
Oh, more games. The Ragecast continues.
Yeah, we totally forgot about that.
Rages on.
I was walking around Rite Aid the other day, as you do.
The one in Pacifica?
Yeah.
It's a fine Rite Aid.
Yeah.
I almost bought a TV there once.
We were just there last night. They have all the Thanksgiving stuff is out already.
What?
And even Cadbury's Scream Eggs. The Halloween run-in has begun.
Come on. You want to hear some bullshit? This is going to blow you away.
What have you listened to for the last hour and a half?
I was at Starbucks the other day.
Yeah.
And I saw some sample sizes back behind the counter where the barista in downtime had clearly been trying some new shit out.
Okay.
I was like, hey, what's – he said, caught me eyeballing them.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, it's a chai, pumpkin spice chai.
Oh, they're getting ready for the seasonal shit.
And I was like – he was like, do you want to try? I was like, No, I don't. But at this point, I was in.
And walked away.
Right. Yeah. I threw it
on the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
So I tried it. It was repulsive.
Why do you even go to Starbucks? Yeah. Do you just go just so you can tell these stories about how you're too good for it?
No. Starbucks, when I need to clear out of the house and I'm working from home, I go to Starbucks because it's a good place to
work. That's the last place I go.
Yeah.
I had to get out of the house recently and I went to Starbucks and it's just all laptop fucks. I don't want to be one of those people.
I'm not proud of being one of those people, but
I hate those people.
Sometimes you have to work.
And I went somewhere else.
Not in Pacifica.
I went somewhere else.
Where'd you go?
Well, so I was in the city. I went into the city. Listen to me. I went into the city. I went to the Starbucks. It was filled to the brim with laptop fucks. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. Otherwise, I'm going to be in the
fucking... So where'd you go?
I'm going to be in the fucking newspaper tomorrow. So I got out.
You're just inching further and further out of the shot, by
Am
the
I?
Way.
Yeah. I didn't realize that you'd gone in close.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't know you could even do that.
We have new technology since you've been here
You've got to tell me this stuff.
Well, the fucking screen's right there.
Professionals have a fucking red light so they know what's going on.
Why would you expect that we would have a red light here?
I would expect to know if you're going to change the camera angle.
I've been doing it the whole 2 hours. You never noticed.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so laptop fucks. I got to get out of here. So I went down the street. So there was a woman sitting there, and she was drinking a coffee, and she was on a laptop. And I was like, she was just one of the many laptop fucks.
Yeah.
And I left. And I went to another... I found like a mom-and-pop type coffee shop that was much bigger, but also had free Wi-Fi. And there were laptop fucks.
Yeah.
But there were lots of empty tables. So I'm like, okay. So I became a laptop fuck for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then I drank my coffee, and when I got another, whatever.
I feel like 2 hours is a good time limit.
But you don't want to nurse that one drink for that whole time.
No, I spend the free Wi-Fi. $8 is kind of like 2 hours, $4 an hour.
And plus, I brought my own Wi-Fi in case the
Wi-Fi was shitty.
So I wasn't even using their Wi-Fi.
You didn't settle in. Sometimes I think,
why do you still have the Wi-Fi?
And you open the laptop, you like deploy.
I just have like having the dedicated device.
You deploy. All sorts of
those people that clearly are there for the day. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy.
I saw a guy bring an iMac in once.
Even in this
Panera Bread,
even in this coffee shop where there were many, many empty seats that I found, I didn't want to be that guy. So, in a Starbucks where clearly there are people that would like to sit down, but they can't because you've been there for 3 fucking hours nursing your one.
Here's the
dollar
difference.
Coffee the difference, while you're leeching their free Wi-Fi.
The difference between you and me is I feel bad taking a seat in a mom and pop place for a long time.
I'm not taking anyone else's seat. So what does it matter?
Yeah, those mom and pop places, they want people there because it makes it
to make
like,
it seem like there's a buzz, there's a happening, there's a vibe. I provide that vibe.
The mom and pop place
provide that energy, that positive
plus
energy.
One laptop.
Have you been to Fog City Java yet?
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times.
It's next to the retirement
community. Yeah, I know where it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets real weird about 10:30 in the morning when shuffleboard lets out.
So anyway, listen. So I was there for a while. And then I went and got my hair cut.
Okay.
And then I went and got something to eat. And I came back past that Starbucks and that woman was still there. And it was the same coffee because I could see the way her name was written on the cup. It was the same fucking cup.
Yeah.
She'd been there for at least 3 hours.
So you could call her out?
No, I you know, in my... You know how like in TV... show sometimes you do it and you go and then it cuts and it never happened.
Yeah.
Like that, I did that.
Okay. You flip the cup like in her
fucking
face.
Kicked the shit over, threw it on the ground.
It wouldn't have burned. It was probably cold by then.
Yeah. Threw hot coffee. I would have ordered a hot one and thrown it in her face. I would have done all that stuff. But I didn't do any of that. I just fantasized
and then
about
it. You're like nodding, like, I'm glad I thought of that.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I feel satisfied.
Louis C.K. does that whole bit about how he fantasizes going off on this guy and then it never really happened.
Yes.
So anyway, that happened. Sega Genesis. That's right.
Yeah, I don't have Rite Aid.
What the
Rite Aid?
Hold on.
I don't even know.
Rite Aid.
Yeah.
Dusted that one off.
That was like beyond layers. We were in the unconstructed dream space, whatever you call it down there. Limbo.
We could have been lost in
there. We were in limbo.
I just got like four out there.
Much like in limbo, what seemed like 5 minutes for us much as seemed like 10 hours for our listeners just now.
The Rage Cast rages on.
That was agony. Anyway, so Rite Aid.
Yeah.
So you know how they sell those Atari flashback type consoles? It's mocked up to look like an old 2600. It's got like 50 games packed in. They've had those for years.
Or it's like sometimes it's even just the joystick.
Yeah.
Like it's the joystick.
I have a Commodore 64 Kempston joystick that has like 50, 60, 64. It's brilliant.
The joystick actually, is the console.
Actually created by Jerry Elson, who worked at Valve for a while in the hardware.
Ellsworth,
Ellsworth. Thank you.
Norm, whose name are you going to fuck up today? I got Jonathan Blow.
Yeah, excuse me. That one's not as bad as Simon Blow, whatever it is you came
Stephen.
Up with. Stephen Blow. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, I don't think we should judge. Anyway.
Anyway.
I got GTA 5, so.
That's true.
Maybe we've all got something wrong today. It's okay. It wouldn't be.
It's not as bad as Crash Bandicoot Nuts and Bolts. That was, I got shit for that one.
Classic.
That was really bad.
Nuts and Bolts. What's shit?
Banjo Kazooie.
You're like an old man talking about
I remember back in the day.
So listen. So they've had those consoles forever.
Yeah.
I actually have an old Atari flashback sitting around somewhere.
It's a perfect thing to store in your garage.
Yeah. That's all it's ever been.
Yeah.
So I went to write, and they have a new one out, and it's the latest version of it. I was like, it's always cool to see that stuff. Next to it, they had the same thing. And I guess this is relatively new, but it's a Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
80 games on there for $39.99.
That's a lot of games.
With wireless controllers. And I'm like, you know what? $40.
It's like two nugs a game.
I feel like that's got to be done. Yeah.
Does it have, is it all Sega games?
A lot of them are official Sega games.
So it's like Sonic.
There's no like EA games or anything on there. There are some third-party titles.
But it has a port for the cartridge, for the Genesis cartridge, if you want to
play. Oh, so you can plug Genesis cartridges in?
It has a slot. You can put real Genesis cartridges in it, and it has controller ports. You can put real Genesis controllers in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real licensed thing?
It's a real licensed Sega.
Yeah, Sega's got Sonic on the front and everything.
But the controllers that came with it comes with two wireless controllers.
Right, so we'll get to that.
Okay. Are they the six button or the four or the three button?
Six button.
Huh.
So I bought it. I was never in the UK where I grew up. It was called the Mega Drive, as it also was in Japan.
Really? They called it the Wow.
Yeah, it was only called the Genesis in the US.
That's a much cooler name.
Yeah, the Sega Mega Drive. Much cooler. And I had a Super Nintendo. Actually, I have a Super Famicom because I bought an import one from Japan. When I was working at Future years ago, there was a Mega Drive magazine right next to us, and I would occasionally wander over there and look at the Genesis Mega Drive games. But I was never really super into it, but I do remember having a lot of fun playing Streets of Rage and Golden Axe and some of those games. And I was, just the other day, was for some reason reminiscing about old Genesis games. And I walk into Rite Aid, and it's like my wish was made manifest. $40. Because I was thinking about maybe going on eBay or like finding an old Genesis and a bunch of cartridges, because that stuff's cheap. But it seemed like a bit of a hassle. And here's like, here's just a solution in a box for $40. I'm like, and I looked on the back. I said, you know, when it's 80 games, often a lot of those games are shitty. And like half of them really were shitty. But it had all three Golden Axe games, all three Streets of Rage games, a bunch of Sonic games, Altered Beast, a bunch of stuff. Shinobi, like a bunch of games that we all know as Sega people. I'm like, I got to get this $40. What's the harm?
What could possibly go wrong?
So I hit the Norm bat signal and I said, do you want to, you know, I've got two controllers. You do you want to check this too. Out? What? Did
you
I?
You said, hey, do we want to do
oh,
a video
both
with
of
this?
You, yeah, but you blew me up. I know. I asked you if you wanted to do a test on it because it seemed like an interesting
I said
product.
We were probably okay. And we're a little backed up
so
right
instead,
now.
I just wanted to play it, but I thought it would be best to have someone to play with.
Fair enough.
And so Norm came over and we fired it up and we played some Genesis games. And it's, you know, it is what it is.
The word on the street, because I went and did some research after you sent the tweet, after you sent the text. The word on the street is the emulation's merely okay.
You would have to put the original Genesis next to it to see the. But honestly, these games looked and played like how I remember.
Not a purist.
Also, no. This is a nostalgia play. Yeah. Also, of the 80 games, 40 of them are made by the company that makes the chip.
Oh, they're terrible.
They're not
real
games.
They're all like Action 52 type games. They're like memory card games and just Mahjong. Yeah, just shit.
Yeah. But there are 40 real games.
But there are 40 legit games.
Okay.
Like the Sega, Shinobi.
Now, of those 40 legit games,
We play probably what, like maybe a dozen different games. The only one that held up that was legitimately fun to play was Streets of Rage 2, which was a classic then and is still. Everything else we kind of like playing it through kind of like Mystery Science Theater type goggles, going like, oh, this is kind of shitty now, and I'm having fun with that. But Streets of Rage 2, we actually played and legitimately enjoyed.
Is that that's a kind of like a Double Dragon-y kind of brawler?
Yeah, it's a side scrolling brawler. Yeah,
that's a good game. Yeah.
So I enjoyed that.
Is it in your garage yet?
What's that?
Is it in your garage?
No, it's still out. Leah and I are going to play it a little bit.
Okay.
But it's a novelty.
How are the controls?
I might seek out a couple of Genesis cartridges and see how it actually works. The biggest problem is the controllers. Because they work on IR and the receiver's in the front, you have to hold it. You can't hold it up. You can't hold it up like that because you'll lose control. The beam doesn't hit it. So that sucks.
There's a reason that wireless controllers are RF now.
Yeah, but you could get wired. You could buy Genesis wired controllers for nothing.
The Genesis wired controllers feel better too.
Yeah, one of the things I discovered, I really appreciated the story you ran recently about the best CRT for classic gaming, because one of the things I learned from playing in the classic gaming hall at PAX is that emulators and stuff are great, but there's nothing like playing on the original hardware.
Yeah.
And that includes like an old CRT and everything.
Gotta get the scan lines.
No comparison.
Agreed.
So it was fun, but it's a novel. I wouldn't recommend against checking it out for $40. You know, it could be an impulse purchase. You'll have some fun with it.
If you're spending $40 on that or two-thirds of Saints Row the Fourth.
I was thinking about this recently. I was talking to a guy I know on Twitter about this just the other day. Nostalgia, when you think about it, it almost sounds like a kind of disease. I'm sorry, you have nostalgia. Oh, my God.
It's something Calculon would get, right?
Because it is.
You have.
It can be malignant.
Nostalgia.
You go back and you think about how much better stuff was in the past, and it makes you think stuff today is not as good. But go back and play these games, and a lot of them are not. your mind has turned them into things that they were not.
Sonic.
The Sonic was not good.
We couldn't get terrible. 5 minutes of Sonic.
But I believe that Sonic was never good.
Ragecast.
It's not like, oh man, this is not as good as I thought it was. No, I tweeted that. I said Sonic was never good. And a bunch of people were like, yeah, never good. Some of the later games are okay, but the first one was not good. Comic Zone.
Oh, Comic Zone was
that was cool.
So cool.
Yeah, that was actually good.
Was that like the big invention with the comic book that you could interactive?
No, it came right at the end of the Genesis. It's actually very interesting to look at games that came out at the very beginning of the Genesis.
Yeah.
And then look at games that came out at the very end, because this system has both. And C just had more technically better. Same system. Just
what was
programmed.
Next? The Saturn?
What? Yeah, Saturn came out after Genesis.
I missed everything. I skipped Genesis to basically like Xbox One. I think I got an N64.
I didn't have a Saturn. I didn't have a Jaguar. Thank God.
Jaguar.
After SNES, I think I went to Amiga, and then I was a computer guy after that. I never really had any consoles again until the Xbox.
That's what happened to me, is I was a PC guy for a fairly... I mean, I had an N64 to play Mario Kart, basically.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it.
I never really had consoles. I was a VIC-20, Sinclair Spectrum, Commodore 64. There was a Super Famicom in there briefly.
Yeah.
But then I was back onto the Amiga and PC from
there. This is something we never really talked about, but I know that, like, England, or the Great Britain, rather, was a kind of different environment. Like, where consoles were really popular here in the early 80s and the Atari wave and Coleco and all that stuff. And then again, in like the late 80s, early 90s, you guys kind of got into real computers a lot earlier.
Well, there were a number of differences. Yeah, it was more computer-based. And even there was differences. Like, where the Apple II, I think, was more popular here. The Commodore 64 was our version of that and was more popular there. The Sinclair Spectrum was a revolutionary system in the UK. I don't know if it ever really made any inroads in the US at all.
No, nobody ever, like, only weird people.
Hardcore, like, computer nerds know about the Sinclair products, but it was very much a European thing. Huge in Europe.
But I think that affected how a lot of the early programmers that were building, like, a lot of the early games, like the stuff from Rare and Molyneux and all those, were coming out of England.
I mean,
we had more programmers per capita.
The NES and the Master System and stuff like that. It just wasn't as big a deal. People were playing their Spectrums and Commodore 64s.
Yeah.
And then by the time we got to the Super Nintendo and the Mega Drive, stroke Genesis, those were popular. Consoles started to become really popular at that point. Mm-hmm. But again, we had a bit of a flip. In the UK, the Genesis was more popular than the Super Nintendo. And I think in the US, it was reversed.
Figures.
Yeah. We like to do things differently.
Cultures.
So it was a fun experience. But I generally caution people against nostalgia. You think that it's going to transport you back to this mystical place of your childhood, and all you really do is go, oh my god, this is what we played? This is terrible.
The exception are like the four episodes of the G.I. Joe cartoon that are really good.
Yeah, and there are some games that do, like I said, Streets of Rage, there are plenty of, like, it's still fun to go back and play Space Invaders. It is.
I don't like Space Invaders.
Tetris will never get old.
Galaga.
Tetris is
Pitfall.
Immortal. There's some
Combat.
Those, yeah. No, Combat is not good.
Really?
You just think it is. Go back and play it.
I think Pitfall is
also not good.
Mm.
Died too quick. Like Prince of Persia and Pitfall.
Prince of Persia is not real solid. I like Atari 2600 Pitfall, I think, kind of holds up. It's mechanically pretty sound.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that does it for what we've been testing this week then.
But I'm glad you brought that, because that Genesis was a fun experience. But it makes me think, like, I don't think I would buy another one of those emulators. I think if I really wanted to have a Genesis experience, I would seek out the original hardware and get some carts. I mean, the great thing about people that are into old, if you're going to be into old video games, it's like, unlike most other old things that you might collect, the stuff doesn't hold its value at all. Like, it's not like...
Well, with some exceptions.
With a handful of exceptions, like Vectrex and some like really arcane systems. But like the ones that were really popular, like you can pick up an NES and a bunch of games for next to nothing.
Somebody, as long as you have that the right audio or video cable, the port.
You have to
RCA.
Well, assuming it still works with your TV, some of the scalers.
Well, I mean, my Panasonic had an RCA. It worked fine.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that there's a Virtual Boy emulator for the Oculus?
God, why would you do it? Why would you do such a thing?
Let's take some questions.
Emails?
Well, but we do the other one.
Emails.
We don't do emails. We do
emails.
No.
Questions.
Boom.
If you have a question for This Is Only a Test, the email address is podcast@tested.com. Here is our first question. It's from Alex in Elk Ridge, Maryland. I'm interested in creating my own infotainment system with an inexpensive tablet and my 2005 Focus. I already have an aftermarket radio installed, and I have an inexpensive Bluetooth OBD2 adapter from a previous car, and I was wondering if you guys had any ideas for small 7-9-inch tablets that don't suck. I don't much care about the software. Something that was/is popular is more likely to have a modding community, and it would be much easier to upgrade with custom ROMs later on. I plan on using Torque to monitor car specs, voltage, temperature, miles per gallon, etc., and want to have or be able to add normal Google suite of apps for playing my music and occasional GPS directions from Google Maps. 3G, 4G connection would be nice, but isn't a requirement. Bluetooth and Wi-Fi are, and GPS is preferred, but not required. I'm not too picky. Other than that, let me know what you think. I was looking at the Samsung Galaxy Tab 2 7-inch. It looked promising and is about $150. Thanks for your time. Love the show. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know the answer to this question. I put it out there because I think it's an interesting question. I would love to hear what people have done.
You know, it's very, you know, the specifics of actually like modding something into your car, that's very specialist. But, you know, if what this boils down to is a general question about a tablet, get a Nexus 7 or an iPad mini.
I think that it has to be Android for what he wants to do.
Get a Nexus 7.
Modding it into your car, you don't want something that's going to lag or, you know, or, yeah, just not be responsive. You don't want crappy hardware.
Right.
You want
it's interesting. GPS is not a requirement. You think in a car, that'd be something you'd find quite useful.
Well, maybe he doesn't go places. He doesn't know where he's going. Maybe he has Google Glass, and it tells him where he's going.
You still need you need internet connection.
Right, you need internet connection. Post comments, or maybe we'll start a forum thread, and I would love to hear what people think. I think this
always
is
amazes me how quickly people do that. Like the day after the iPad came out, someone had one like actually molded into a dash and working. Like it looked like it was factory.
Well, that
made.
Was because
it's crazy.
It's not because the iPad worked great in a car. It's because the touchscreen was so responsive. They wanted something that had that kind of responsive touchscreen.
Yes, but what I'm saying is there was hardcore people out there that would just do it. Just
yes.
They can. It's
just because they can.
Yeah,
yeah.
They just want to do it.
I mean, it speaks more to how bad touchscreen interfaces and dashboard interfaces are in cars.
Well, that's why I'm excited about iOS 7 in the car. That's a big feature that Apple's rolling out. And I typically have driven Ford vehicles, but I don't think I would get another Ford, partly because they already have their big deal with Microsoft Sync. I would like the idea of having the full iOS. I'm probably going to stick with iPhone. I mean, unless Apple totally dropped the ball and I go, oh, shit, I better get an HTC One, I'll probably stick with Apple. And I would want a car that would make the best use of that.
We had a really bad experience with that sync stuff in the my
I don't think it's good at all. I've used it
in the modern ones. It was really bad.
Yeah.
Reboot that car.
Yeah, I had to pull over at one point so I could change the air conditioning. Sucked. That's it for questions. A lot of people wrote in to say that we should start watching Doctor Who with Blink, which is in season 3 of the new series. I have not watched.
Oh
that.
Yeah, I saw that. Interesting. I was very pleased and gratified to see that in the comments.
You did a good job.
But most people thought I did an okay job describing Doctor Who.
Yes.
Which, you know, I'm glad to hear that because as a Brit,
it's a hard thing to do.
I would have felt like I would have let the side down if I hadn't at least covered the.
Well, I don't know what the equivalent is for U.S. audiences.
Like letting the side down?
No. For like a pop culture thing that we're supposed to know about.
Well, we export pop culture, so.
Yeah, it's import. Like you really need to explain to other countries what this American thing is because they probably have it.
Yeah.
I guess it would be Friends or Seinfeld.
Cheers. But every country on earth has that.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to imagine finding somebody you have to explain Seinfeld.
What is a uniquely American experience that is not exported?
Football. American NFL football.
Right. Yeah.
You know, something like any American sport.
Basketball,
really.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball
yeah, any, makes yeah, sense base, pretty much any
but
American
people,
sport.
A lot of people play baseball, actually.
Anyway, sorry.
And it is the World Series.
Right.
You were just saying
so that was good
word,
and people actually did post some useful information. They said, you know, here's a good play. They rightly said, I believe what I said, the same thing is that as much as people like me who grew up watching Doctor Who would say, oh, Tom Baker was the best, you shouldn't go there and start there because you'll go, this is terrible. Look, that door looks like it's going to fall on the guy. Like it just doesn't look good.
A lot of styrofoam painted.
Hard to deal with that. The newer shows obviously have the full production values of the BBC, which is not great, but still better than it's ever been. And
they it's no did, Downton Abbey,
but they pointed out, well, that's not BBC.
Oh, really?
No, a lot of people.
PBS,
a lot of
though.
It's interesting. A lot of people make that mistake. They think that because Downton Abbey is British and classy, that it must have come from the BBC. But it's actually an ITV show.
I thought it was because it was on PBS. Because I thought Masterpiece Classics were always BBC shows.
There's
they sourced that from different places.
I don't fucking know that.
There's the multiple BBC channels.
Okay.
There's ITV.
And which is, what is ITV, like
independent
HBO?
Television. It's commercial-based network broadcast television.
So in the UK, BBC, there's no ads, right?
That's right.
Because it's all...
You pay a license fee. Well, you're supposed to anyway.
Yeah.
And that's...
Why don't they just... Do you pay that every year, or is it just when you get a new TV?
You pay it every year.
Really?
Yeah.
Like somebody comes to your door and is like, hey, I need your TV money?
Well, they do have... I don't know if they do anymore, but they used to have detector vans that would drive around, and they could detect if you were not a license payer, but you got TV service at that address, to come knock on your door.
How could they detect that?
What, if you have a TV in your house?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a difficult thing. To pick up a TV signal, sometimes they just look for the antenna on the roof. It's not that difficult.
Well, okay. So it's not like they have a suite of snoops. It's just like they're... Okay. Fair enough.
Anyway, the TV detector man. Oh, yes. That used to be quite scary. I don't know if they have that anymore. But they do ask you to pay your license fee. That's how the BBC's funded. So it's just right. It's just like buying a subscription.
So it's a tax, basically.
Yes.
Okay. How much is it? It's like $1 million?
I don't know what it is anymore. It's gone up. However much the license fee every year is something the British people...
Are we talking like a nice meal, or are we talking like $10?
Oh, no. It's in the hundreds of dollars.
Really?
For, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think that's right. I mean, I haven't... Okay. Lived in the UK for many, many years. It used to be under 100 when I was a kid.
But that was when $100
was like in the 1980s.
Yeah, yeah, 100 pounds, whatever.
So you have the BBC. When I was a kid, you had BBC One and BBC Two. And now you have BBC Three, Four, and other ones as well.
Okay.
Digital channels. And then there's ITV, which you don't pay for. But if you have a TV in your house, you have to. You can't just say, oh, well, I only watch ITV. I don't watch BBC. If you have a TV in your house, you have to pay a license fee. Or you're in trouble. Lots of people don't anyway.
What if you have cable? Well, I guess you get BBC over the cable, so you still are getting
still,
it. Yeah.
I
they might build it into the cable
in the
chart,
post-cable
so.
Era, I actually don't know how it works anymore. Yeah. In the old days, you had a pair of rabbit ears, and that was it. You had four channels.
Luxury.
Three channels.
We had three channels.
I remember when
kid.
The fourth one came in, it was a big deal.
We got Fox. It was exciting. They had cartoons.
Yeah, so it was kind of a similar thing. Yeah. So until I was 10 years old, we had three channels, BBC One, BBC Two, and ITV. And then Channel 4 came in 1982. And then Channel 5 came in. And then Sky and blah, everything else.
Yeah.
So now there's a whole...
So Sky satellite or is it cable?
Sky satellite.
Okay.
So, but you can also get it over the cable. You don't need a dish anymore. There's any number of ways you can get it. It's all very complicated.
It seems very... It's almost as if DirecTV had its own channels, but they're also delivered
over
Comcast.
You might still need a dish. I honestly don't remember anymore. I don't know anymore. This is all... It's all changed. But...
Can we talk about some other stuff that we may or may not know?
I don't even remember what I was... Doctor Who. About, right?
Doctor Who.
People think that it's... Must have come from the BBC.
Yeah,
I just assume
it's weird. It's a show that you think should be on BBC because BBC is generally known as like the classier place where you get that kind of stuff.
Showtime masterpiece.
ITV is usually where you get the crappy stuff. But like, remember Brideshead Revisited, which was like the Downton Abbey of its time.
No,
that was a big masterpiece show in the 1980s.
Okay,
that was an ITV show. They have these classy shows.
They
every
have
now
budget,
and again,
because people are paying.
And Downton Abbey's
the
anomaly. ITV like, oh shit, we have this classy show that everybody likes.
I wonder if that's the case for shows we export over there. Like they just like, oh, you know, one company makes Simpsons and
as I
Married with Big Children.
When I was a kid in the UK watching like Cheers and Seinfeld and all those American shows, there was no concept of where we knew they came from America, but like NBC, whether I had no idea. Like I still don't. I guess that. Cheers must have been an NBC show, right?
Yeah, it's part of the classic.
But that's because of Frasier.
But at the time, I had to reverse engineer it from Frasier to figure it out. But like when I was watching it, it was like, here are shows from America. But you didn't know what their source was.
The America Channel.
So when you had like a weird crossover night, like the blackout night on Must See TV, where all the Thursday night shows showed up on everybody else's shows, stuff must have gotten really confusing.
I don't know if we...
They may not have even showed them at the same time. Like they would do stuff like that a lot where like something big would happen across the entire four show Thursday night comedy block.
Like I still couldn't tell you, for example, what Knight Rider was, where that came from.
That's NBC.
Right. Battlestar Galactica.
That's ABC.
Street Hawk.
ABC, I think. Street Hawk. They were just,
and here isn't.
If you ask me about Brady Bunch, I would say TBS probably. But
Star Trek The Next Generation.
That was syndicated.
I was trying to trick you.
No.
Good.
It was on ABC where I live, but it could have been on anything.
It was on UPN.
Well, I remember when Voyager was the first one. Voyager came out, and it was a big deal that UPN launched with that show. I was like, that was the first time I was aware that TV shows from America actually came from different... It wasn't just like, America just makes these TV shows.
When Voyager came out, and it was on UPN, one of the engineering students... I was in college. One of the engineering students that lived on my floor made a reflective antenna dish that could pick up the only UPN station that was within line of sight with us, which was like
United
70 miles away.
Paramount
Given that this was pre-internet, I knew a guy that was so into Star Trek, and there was no... Because they had not announced any plans yet to show it in the UK. He took a trip to America just to watch the Voyager premiere.
Well, that had to be a fucking huge disappointment. Oops.
a caretaker.
I can remember. You remember Dallas? Remember Who Shot JR?
Yeah.
That was a big deal. So before the internet.
That was CBS, I think.
There was a big deal. It was such a big thing, and it wasn't being shown until like a week later in the UK or whatever. And because, again, there was no internet, which is everybody knew everything immediately the second it happened. Mm-hmm. There was a news footage of the tapes of Dallas, of the Who Shot JR episode, landing in England and being escorted by security people. It was like, this is a big deal. The BBC.
Oh my God.
Was it the BBC that showed Dallas? I don't remember. There was, yes. Who Shot JR? The tapes have arrived. It was like this big deal.
Were they like somebody have them handcuffed to their wrists or something like that? It was like the nuclear football.
I'll tell you another good story as well about the history of British television and like how archaic it used to be. So before, I mean, I don't think it wasn't Nielsen. You know, you have Nielsen ratings. We have a similar thing in the UK now. We have pretty accurate ways to measure TV ratings. But back in the day, here's how they did it. And do you remember there was a miniseries called The Thornbirds?
Yeah.
Okay, that
was about Australia. Nancy Reagan liked it.
It was a big deal. It was about a woman who fell in love with a priest, and it was based on
it a priest that can marry ladies or not so much?
No, it was like a Catholic priest. Oh. It was all like,
yeah,
Richard Chamberlain.
The Episcopalian priests are totally down with it.
And it was a big miniseries based on a big book.
Yeah.
And it was a huge TV event in America, and then they brought it over here to the UK.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I assumed it was from England because they all had accents.
No, it was an American thing.
Oh, my bad.
And they brought it over, and when they broadcast it, mm-hmm. you know, it was a mini series and they did it over like three nights or whatever. The final episode was, I'm sure it's been surpassed since by many things, but at the time, just like, you know, remember like the season finale of MASH was the biggest thing. The Thornbirds, that final episode, was for a long time, again, I'm sure it's been surpassed by many other things, but that night it set the world record, or the British record for the most audience of television. And they didn't have ways of monitoring television audiences. So the way that they knew, this is actually how they measured TV ratings.
Check and see what people were saying on Twitter?
Here's what they did. And this is how they measured TV audiences for some time. And this is how they knew the Thornbirds was the biggest show. Is they would monitor the use of the national grid electrical system. And because after the episode, everybody would get up and go put the kettle on to make a cup of tea. That's how they knew they would see more people are turning on their kettles to make tea. And it's 2 minutes after the Thornbirds ended. That's how we know how many people were watching the Thornbirds.
No.
Yes, that's a true story.
That's like the Chicago toilet flush during the Super Bowl. You know what it is, right?
So it's very similar to that.
At halftime during the Super Bowl, the Chicago septic system or water system was completely collapsed on like Super Bowl III because everybody got up and took a leak at the same time.
Right.
During halftime.
You see, the way that they could figure out, they used to be able to correlate kettles spikes because of kettles being turned on with the commercial breaks of TV shows. They knew exactly that's when people were getting, I'm going to make a cup of tea.
And there were only four channels, so it wasn't like there were only four possibilities of
a
show.
It was a much simpler landscape.
This is like big data.
Yeah, and only one that actually had commercials.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
It's like big data in the 80s.
Yeah.
My grandmother always got up to put a pot of tea on when the commercial was.
I don't know what the biggest...
It's an English thing, I think.
I don't know what the biggest... it's probably still the Royal Wedding, I would imagine.
The 1981 one?
Yeah, but I don't know if that was before or after the Thornbirds. I don't remember anymore.
Thornbirds was later because it was Nancy Reagan. Nancy Reagan was in the Thornbirds. It was like 84, as I recall.
So that was a big deal.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, I guess that'll do it for us this week. I don't know that we're going to top that.
Go put on the water, hot water.
Fascinating on the kettles, foray guys. Into the world of provincial TV trivia there. But I was going to say about Doctor Who was that some people did actually point out some very useful episodes where they were saying, like, if you want to get into Doctor Who but like don't want to have to commit to like learning all of it, here are some episodes that actually work quite well as standalones and will help you understand what Doctor Who is.
I just went on the Wikipedia page and went cross-eyed after like 3 minutes. Like, I'm good. I'm back out of Doctor Who.
It's been around for 50, 60 years. It's a long mythology.
It's too much. We will not be back next week with another episode of This Is Only Test. We'll have something else planned, I'm sure. Norm, you're going to Dragon Con. I'm going to PAX.
One of those things has got to move.
PAX and Dragon Con?
Yeah, it's ridiculous that you have to pick one.
Dragon Con's been going on for longer.
I'm not a big fan of Dragon Con.
I've never been.
I mean, it's not that I have anything against cosplay or whatever, but it's in Atlanta.
What's Dragon Con like?
Hot as shit.
I've never been either.
Oh,
it's my first
we don't
time.
Know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, if you as Mr. Cosplay photographer, I think you're going to have a field day.
I think so.
Of all the cons, it's the most cosplay con.
Yes. Cosplay con, yes.
I got my cosplay and I had everything.
Yeah.
Everything sorted out.
Yeah.
Are you going to do a meetup or something there, Norm? Have you decided yet?
I don't know who's going.
Well, so
Veronica usually goes, isn't she?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, jeez, that's a tough call
for people.
We'll be at PAX.
Gary and I will be at PAX.
I'm on a panel about
zombies.
I
don't have badges yet. My badges have fallen through, so I've sent plaintive emails. But if anybody has leads on 4-day passes, let me know. I'm in the market.
I think, I still don't know exactly where mine are coming from, but whatever.
Yeah.
It'll work out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I'm not
don't
too worried
about
it.
Don't you know who I am?
Yeah. Yeah.
That didn't work at Comic-Con at all. I guess that'll do it for us. We will see you guys in a couple of weeks. Maybe we'll shoot some dumb videos or something while we're at PAX, Gary.
Yeah, we should.
Today's outro. Oh, if you have a question, the email address is podcast@tested.com. Today's outro comes to us from Triple Three. And maybe we'll do some fake outtakes in a minute. Ragecast ends here.
Hi there. I didn't see you. Tested.
Coming down the hill, it's really steep right here. Driving.
That's it.
Timely.
That, we didn't really understate how scary that car was going 80 miles an hour. It shimmied in a way that I'm not familiar with cars shimmying. Like it felt like the wheels weren't all the way on the ground.
They are very small, and when I see cars that small on the on a major freeway, I worry. But a smart car apparently has got very good safety ratings.
Well, so the thing that they told us in the press briefing is that the whole frame of the car is basically like roll cage. Mm. So it's basically like one piece of metal that's all been attached to each other. And
yeah, we went and looked at one a while ago, and I remember there was a lot of material on because I think they have to – they know yeah. that's – people are going to go in going like, I'm going to get crushed in this thing, and they have to plan. No, it's actually pretty safe.
But
that's still the psychological feeling of like being in this tiny little car. It's still got to be there. Right?
Yeah, I mean, at some point I was sitting there. I was like,
when
I was
18 wheeler right by you.
You could just tuck under, like it's like in Christmas Vacation when he drives the Sable underneath the logging truck.
Oh, that's the part that I missed. I see in all our incepting. I missed that. So in Rite Aid, they had all the Thanksgiving stuff out.
Yeah,
and the Cadbury Scream eggs. I just wanted to say, even though, like, you know how a lot of people are kind of irritated that stuff is, like, coming out earlier and earlier? Like, it's the middle of August and there's Thanksgiving stuff out.
Are the Cadbury Scream eggs the ones with the cream filling or the ones with the malted chocolate inside?
I think they have, like, green...
Cream filling?
Green cream. So it's meant to be, like, Halloween goo or something.
Ugh.
No, it's good.
It's foul.
But I'm one of the people, like...
You appreciate this.
As I may have mentioned before, the period of the year that starts with Thanksgiving and goes through Halloween and Christmas is my favorite period of the year because it's like three excellent holidays back to back. It's brilliant.
It is.
And it's the most fun time.
Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all good.
Like, so to reference the Starbucks thing, one of my favorite signifiers of happy times is when the red cups come in and like the pumpkin and gingerbread coffees show up. It just feels like...
Signifiers of good times.
Yeah.
So what I will tell you...
I sometimes wish I lived in a colder place because I want to walk around in like mittens... And a scarf with my red Starbucks
Tahoe,
cup
dude.
And just feel very, you know, wintry.
Get you an
never
Oculus.
Really get that out
get
in the moderate climate of California.
So, my scoop on the gingerbread spiced, pumpkin spice lattes is that they all have the stuff now. It's all on deck. Every Starbucks should have it shortly. They can't start selling it for at least a month.
Right.
And there's going to be a game that you will have to... this is exclusive information as far as I know.
Fucking God.
You will have to use social media to unlock the pumpkin spice latte at your local Starbucks.
No, come on.
Once one person
does
it. Where
are you getting this from?
This is what the barista told me. I got an inside scoop.
Oh, but I don't have to do it.
If you want, if it hasn't been unlocked and you don't participate in the game,
does the person
no pumpkin
get
spice
a
latte.
Free pumpkin
I think that
latte?
You should get free pumpkin spice lattes for the entire run of the latte this season
they
if you unlock
that.
It.
That's a lot of lattes.
Only in that one store.
When does it usually come in?
I don't. Why are you asking me this?
Well, anyway,
well, you're the one
I love that.
Scoop.
And when I saw the Thanksgiving stuff out at the Rite Aid, I was like, yay, holiday fun times are upon us.
I like Easter
candy.
We're
the summer. But it's coming, though. It's all ahead of us.
It's still summer. I like my tomatoes aren't even
it was
yet.
Hot this week.
Yeah.
So it is some distance off, but they already have like the, you know, the Reese's pumpkins and some of the Halloween-y Thanksgiving things are out.
None of you have air conditioning, right?
No.
Do you have fans when it gets hot?
I have a small fan.
It's been really hot in the house lately. We've had a few fans.
Also,
running.
I open a door.
So what's your fan strategy? Do you put the fan in the window blowing in? Do you put it in the hallway to kind of push air through the middle of the house where it gets stagnant?
Window blowing in is the right thing to do.
Thank you.
Is that right? I don't know.
point of contention between you and Gina?
We've had a conversation.
What, I mean, there's got to be a strategy behind it, because all the major retailers do. But what is the point? Like, are people really seeing how, like, the Thanksgiving stuff now and going, oh, we should get that now? Like, why? Why not buy it when it's actually like a week away from Thanksgiving or whatever? Like, who needs that stuff? That it's just going to sit around the house.
Like, what you're talking about, like turkey bunting and stuff.
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah, like for example, Halloween stuff is going to be out really soon. Like, you don't need that stuff until like mid October.
Yeah, we're 10 weeks out right now.
Yeah, but they put this stuff out earlier and earlier.
I think that they think if they put it out now, they can get people to buy it twice. So you go in, you're like, oh, I should buy the Halloween stuff now. And then when you get closer, you're like, oh, I haven't bought the Halloween stuff. I should buy the Halloween
stuff. Or you just go, oh, I can eat it now and buy some more later.
It's going to be a great Thanksgiving with all these new consoles.
Yeah, consoles, a lot of babies around.
Yeah.
Busy time.
Yeah. Well, the console and the babies,
they don't
help each other, yeah.
No, they fight.
Yeah.
You can buy more Lego? Lego sets?
No, because we have so much that's not even been built.
More building.
There's not a lot of good stuff.
That UCS X-Wing I was excited about, but I haven't picked it up. Because, it's just going to sit around. I don't have time to build Lego anymore.
I haven't even built the B-Wing.
The Architecture Studio
mm-hmm.
looks great, but again, I had to put a moratorium on Lego until we've got more time to actually build.
Well, it helped this year that the Star Wars stuff, which is where I spend most of my Lego budget, has all been fucking shitty Clone Wars stuff.
That always helps.
Yeah,
If it's not original trilogy, I'm not interested.
I was tempted by the Z-95 Headhunter, which was made famous by I think X-Wing or TIE Fighter. I can't remember the video game.
I went to the dentist this week. And they had me on the nitrous oxide.
Oh, that's always good.
And so I was trying to occupy, you try to take your mind off whatever they're doing in your mouth with like sharp pointy things.
Yeah.
And
is everything okay? You good?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Okay.
Just like a cleaning or whatever.
You get gassed for the cleaning?
Well, they really get in there.
Okay. The deep clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's not fun.
No.
But they put me on this gas and I was like, well away with, the cartoon
happy.
Birds. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my mind was going, I wish I had my laptop. Because actually, that would have been good. Like, I would have written a bunch of stuff that on the gas would have seemed great. And then I would have looked at the next thing and I don't know what the fuck I was on about.
Yeah, that's always bad.
But what I remember for some reason thinking about Admiral Akbar, who's probably my favorite non-major character in the Star Wars universe. And I ended up writing of course it's fake. He's not a real person. But I wrote a whole... Probably not what the... I'm sure there is an official
Are you writing
one.
Star Wars slash?
I wrote all this Admiral Akbar fan fiction in my head and wrote like I came up with a whole biography for him in his whole life.
He has a real biography. He's part of canon.
But I wrote and I'm sure there's like Admiral Akbar novels and things. But I wrote my whole... I did my own one, which is probably better than what the official one they have.
Oh, man, there's a Battle of Hoth playset. I didn't know that.
There's a bunch of those.
Speeder and...
Yeah, there's a bunch of those.
You know what? I've decided that because I'm going to... I have not as much space now. I'm building fewer Lego.
Yeah.
Do you have?
But, okay. Because I have all the Legos.
Oh, they're... Okay.
So
you have cabinets.
But I still want the good stuff. And what I'm finding is the good stuff is I'm buying the custom kits that people are making.
Mm. Oh, like the ones on eBay? Creations. Those are good. Which one? What have you gotten lately? Anything good?
They're still waiting for some stuff to come in.
Okay. Are you going to show and tell it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
What are you doing about these game consoles? Are you going to get either of them?
No.
You're not going to bother?
I live with five people that all play games.
Oh, Norm so
you're
is
just
taking the bet.
To someone else
I have bought every single console that is in my house. Two Xboxes.
Yeah.
Two PS3s.
Why do you have two Xboxes and two PS3s?
I had the 360 and then I bought the Elite.
So you can just sit back with confidence that someone else will buy these systems.
And I'm not going to do it again because they use them and I don't use them. And so they can buy them.
You bought the TV.
I bought the TV. I bought the couch.
When you sit there, you're like, you're sitting on my couch, Fenlon.
That was like maybe a month, the first month in 2010. And I stopped caring.
Yeah, because they've destroyed it all, right?
You stop caring real quickly.
Yeah.
I couldn't live with that many people anymore.
I kind of like part of me thinks it might be nice because it's been a long time. It's been long enough now for me.
It's a thing you do in your 20s.
I mean, the great thing about buying lots of shit is that because I'm always buying shit, the stuff I bought,
there's a trickle down.
No. It's like drugs.
No, I don't know, Norm. What are you talking about?
I get the hit of buying new things. And so
you're just looking for the high.
The value of the thing that the TV, yes, I paid a lot for it, but it's not nearly as cool to me as something I bought last week.
Oh, so you're see, I'm trying to extricate myself from the consumerist culture.
It's great for the first month, and then I'll move on to the next thing. So you be protective.
It's like a very expensive problem to have.
You're
it's just like drugs. Just like drugs.
You are not the things that you own end up owning you, Norm.
I own that movie also.
Yeah, I figured as much.
You'll love that.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go to PAX.
PAX. I'm looking. What are you looking forward to at PAX? I want to play some board games.
I think I think for both of us, it's going to be tougher with the baby. You know, we can't really do any late night things now.
Well, I think Gina and I have established a turn taking policy for late night things. Yeah.
All right. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
But it's always good to go around the show floor. We should try and play some board games.
Yeah. I'm going to bring my copy of Tammany
Hall.
I always feel like when
I go to PAX, I end up doing like maybe 10% of all the things that are on offer. I'm doing a panel, but I don't really go to panels.
Yeah.
I don't go to the shows or the Jerry and Mike stuff that they do. I feel like I should do that, but it's too much effort to go do all the
Megathon, the big concerts and stuff. You know, there's more.
But that kind of feel like that's like Hall H, and like right. Hall H is a hassle. You know, it's like, I don't need it that badly. I'm happy just to go there and be there.
And it's great because it's 24 hours.
Yeah, see all the people in their bean bags.
I don't like waiting in a line.
Yeah, I don't want to wait in a line.
I like street passing. I'll do some street passing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. She's totally into that now with her 3DS.
She loves it. Got to get those pictures.
She loves it.
Got to get those pictures.
Yeah. So she'll have a 3DS. She'll probably do a bunch of street passing. And it's just a good opportunity to see people. A lot of people that we know are there, and it's always fun to see them.
My favorite thing is to go and sit down in go to the board game place, check out one of the board games.
Yep.
Go play with, find three random people who want to play the same game. So I'll be using the Twitter, whatever the hashtag is that they recommend on the,
they
on the
have
board
a whole
game
system
signs.
For that, yeah.
Yeah, and playing some board games.
Yeah, what about
set up a
pin trading
time.
Is a thing now. Are you into that at all?
My father makes pins for a living, so I spent a significant portion of my high school years smacking those fuckers on cardboard, little pieces of cardboard.
It's like going to the Olympics and people who are super into pin trading at the Olympics.
I salute what they're doing, but I am not going to partake. I appreciate it. I think it's a good thing for them to do.
And apparently trading Disney Infinity Power Discs is a thing now that people
do. No, thanks.
Yeah, I'm not going to – look, I'm sure it's very good. And our mutual friend, Johnny V, who worked on it, I wish him all the success in the world. But I don't need that shit in my
house. Our kids are 3 years too young for that.
Again, something you could say about drugs.
Yeah. And the thing is, Johnny V gets annoyed at me because I keep making the analogy that Disney Infinity is basically crack that's legal to sell to kids.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that because it's
no shit, he doesn't. I can't imagine why.
He keeps treating me, will you stop doing that? I can't help myself. But that's what it is.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I'm really looking forward to a time when my daughter is old enough to sit down and play games, to play a game with her. I think that'll be really exciting. It is a thing that I am looking forward to, but it is 3 or 4 years out at this
point. Here's the weird thing. As you know, we're all man children here, right? Like, we all build Lego and we watch stupid TV and we play video games. Like, we're all very much.
Norm does drugs, it turns out.
Norm does drugs.
Yeah, crippling drug habit.
So I'm very tolerant of all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you want to be a grown man and read comic books and build Lego, as I do, then that's great. And I would never judge anyone for that.
I don't even think that there's anything to judge there at this point. I think that's just a thing that people do.
Right. But so you take that as a given. But the point I'm making is that I feel like with Skylanders and with stuff like Disney Infinity, you are crossing a point where I have to look at you and go, like, aren't you a grown man? Like,
but
I see the people going, oh, like, how do I get my Jack Sparrow power disc? And I'm like, what the fuck? You're 38. Like, I don't know what. For some reason, that is like another level that's above normal things like comics and video games.
Here's the thing for me. If the games are good, I'm okay with it.
I know, but this,
I don't know if the games
becomes
are good.
Like actual toys that you're like playing. Like I did this when I was 10, like made them fight. And now we're doing that in a more expensive digital way. That's basically what this is, right?
There is a
like
kind of
my
press.
Boba Fett and my Han Solo, and I'd push them together.
Do
and
the pew pews. Like,
yeah, pew 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 pew. And that's what this is. It's digital pew pews.
I like it. I miss playing with stuff.
There's imagination,
toys.
At least.
Yeah.
When
I was a kid, I was sitting up thinking about this the other day. I used to sit around and play with Star Wars stuff, and I had all these – I had massive years-long storylines where, like, the Transformers crossed over into Star Wars and all sorts of crazy shit happened, and I can't remember any of it.
Oh, shit. Dude, the stuff that I had when I was, like, 10?
Yeah.
I still – that storyline is still ongoing. 30 years later in my head.
You should write that down.
Oh, it's like the longest running. You know, it's like Meet the Press.
2015's best seller.
Meet the Press, the longest running show on television. Yeah. Like, I've got the longest running Star Wars fan fiction in my head for like 30-something years.
Yeah, Han Solo ended up being a Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
Who knew?
See, I didn't. I would never go in that direction.
Well, you had a better understanding of core character tropes than I did as an 8-year-old.
That, in fact, that's offensive to me, what you just said. Although, in the official fiction...
Yeah, the canon. His kid.
Han Solo does have a kid who turns out to be a Jedi.
That's not official.
Anakin Solo.
That's canon.
That's extended universe.
It was canon until they announced more movies.
And he had two kids.
Three kids. Twins and a kid.
Yes.
I can't believe I this shit is stored in my brain somewhere. Nonsense.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing this stuff.
Culture.
Occasionally about just blows my mind the way that the brain works when something that you hadn't thought about for like 30, 40 years, it comes back and shit, that's been sitting there that whole time.
Well, it couldn't come up 40 years for me, but the other day I was having a conversation with
Gina. No, I guess 40 years I'd just be like rolling around and shitting myself.
Yeah, that's another 40 years.
Yeah, that's 40 years from now. Yeah.
Either direction, yeah.
The
yeah.
other day we were talking about something and Gina just looked over at me with a disgust. It's like, I cannot believe that you know that. And
like,
it was something...
What was it?
I wish I could remember. It was we were watching Big Brother.
Okay.
And I was like, "Oh yeah, it's the OTEV competition." And she's like, "You fucking knew that? Really? This is terrible." And
yeah, what is that? I don't even know what that is.
It's veto spelled backwards. So it's one of their signature challenges.
You're both watching it. I mean, can she really judge you on this?
Yeah, but I've devoted mental capacity to it.
Oh, you know more
failure.
About it. Okay.
Yeah. I like watching that show because it's like, what would happen if you took Survivor or a good reality show and put the people who are on the bottom 5% of the applicants in? Like the dumbest, most racist.
Yeah. Got to justify those six tuners in the TiVo.
It's terrible. That'll do it for us this week, I guess. We'll see you guys at PAX and Dragon Con, respectively.
Yeah, I want to meet people at PAX. I want to be trying to be social at PAX. So if you see me, you should come up and say hello.
Don't hug.
No
hugs. Fist bumps.
Yeah. Well, even fist bumps.
Oh,
Maybe we need to bring back the X. We need to bring back
what it is.
Okay,
but hold on.
Let's not do the full
It's
thing.
Only what it is. That was the mistake you made. You made it what it is, what it will be, what it was, all that nonsense.
I was so pleased with myself. I got
super dumb.
Ended up,
you were mad with power.
It collapsed under the weight of its own ambition.
What it is.
We'll be at the bomb panel, at least. I think we'll be at the Cards Against Humanity panel. Oh, no, you're gone by then.
Wait, when is the bomb panel?
Bomb panel Saturday night, I think.
I'm there, but it might be, again, I don't know how, it would be hard for it to do because it would be past baby's bedtime.
Yeah. I'm going to that.
I'll
be in Cards Against Humanity on Sunday night.
I don't remember exactly when it is. I think it's on Saturday, but myself and Steptoe and Chet from Microsoft and the guy who I believe made DayZ are all going to be on a panel about zombies in gaming.
Chet from Microsoft or Chet from Valve?
Chet from Valve.
You said Microsoft.
So I'm sorry.
That's cool. That
Chet
sounds good. I'd totally come to that.
Yeah. Because obviously they did Left 4 Dead.
Can we ask questions?
I don't know. I'm not moderating the panel, so I don't know what the format's going to be.
We feel like the zombie movement's over. Are you going to talk shit about zombies?
You can just ask me a question now. I mean,
are you going to talk shit about zombies like you just did when you were saying, hey, zombies are over?
I personally do think that it's getting a little bit... I think it's at a point... And I'll give you a little preview of the panel. I think we're at a point now where it's becoming more of a challenge to find new things to say because it's been so... done over and over and over. Well,
you know the reason zombies are the bad guy, right? Why they're the common bad guys, because it's easy AI. They just run toward the source of food.
In video games,
it's believable and easy.
Yeah, hides a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, these guys are dumb. Oh, wait, they're supposed to be dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
We wrote ourselves out of that corner.
Yep.
I think werewolves, next big video game.
Well, yeah, I mean, look what Telltale's doing.
Yeah.
Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
Vampires. Very smart. Move on to the next thing. Vampires, we did that.
Yep.
Zombies, I think we're coming to kind of the
mummy. We should do a mummy game.
Mummy's coming back.
Is it going to have The Rock again?
Witches?
No, they're bringing back. It's a different
witches.
Mummy reboot this time. Witches.
Shannon Doherty killed Mummy and Alyssa Milano killed Witches.
Avengers are
I think
back.
Witches could come back.
I think Witches.
2015.
What left is there? I'd like to see Cthulhu come back in it. Like, I'd like to see,
I'd
like to see that
big
done
monsters.
Properly. What's that?
Big monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Pacific Rim kind of, you know, because I think big monsters are coming back.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a big, like a good Cthulhu.
What if it was a big monster
comeback.
That was also a mummy?
Like
it bursts out of the Great Pyramid
like
at Giza.
Cthulhu, but like wrapped in bandages.
Fucking tears through Southern Europe on its way to.
Massive Cthulhu wrapped. It's like Babushka Megatron in Transformers 3 where he had
Babushka Megatron. So bad.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I never understood the mummy, like why that was scary.
Because they're relentless. They never stop.
That's true of any number of things, but like just a guy wrapped in bandages.
It's like a smart zombie that's indestructible. Except for
it
maybe
was scary
fire.
Like back in the days of like those classic Universal movies, but that shit's not scary anymore.
Well,
I feel like if you think about like the classic Universal monsters from that period, like Dracula and Frankenstein,
Wolfman,
the Wolfman, you could update those and make them scary again. The Mummy,
what were the other ones?
You notice with the Mummy movies, they were very successful, but they did it in a way that wasn't all about being scary because they recognized that the Mummy's not scary.
They just knocked off Indiana Jones. And put a supernatural villain.
Looking at what they had, they're like, it's a dude in fucking bandages. Like, we've got to go in a different direction, guys. They were very smart about that.
Well, mummies also really capitalized on the Egyptology trend of the early part of the last century. Like, that was really, like, when they found Tutankhamun's tomb, that was a big deal.
Yeah. Now no one cares.
And that happened in, like, what, 1919 or something? So, yeah.
Thank you for Stargate.
Yeah, no one cares about that now.
Thank goodness for Stargate. Okay, we'll see you guys next week.